Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Halfway through October, it is the 15th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Pennsylvania is at the start of the fall resurgence of COVID-19. The health secretary said Wednesday, urging residents once more to take steps for prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Wednesday marked the ninth consecutive day that Pennsylvania's daily case count surpassed 1,000, though some of the increased caseload is due to expanded testing, hospitalization, and test positivity rates are also rising. That indicates increase in viral spread, Dr. Rachel Levine said at a news conference. Pennsylvania is more prepared to handle the influx than it was in the spring, and state officials have no plans to impose another statewide stay-at-home order or a broad-based business shutdown at this time, Levine said. Health officials report 1,276 more people tested positive for the virus, bringing the statewide total to nearly 176,000 since the beginning of the pandemic. The state reported 27 new deaths, raising the death toll to 8,411. The department is seeing significant increase in the number of COVID-19 cases among younger age groups, particularly 19 to 24 years old. Mask wearing is still required in all businesses and whenever leaving home. Consistent mask wearing is critical to preventing the spread of COVID-19, the health department says. Wash your hands frequently and continue to social distance, they added.
There was a report that came out yesterday that showed how substantially that aspect of washing your hands after coming out of the bathroom. The bathroom, oral fecal contamination. Oh. I know it's disgusting, but that is apparently way up on the list. So,
and to keep things from spreading?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And I'm like, ugh.
Well,
because I love the taste of poop.
Well, you should be washing your hands after leaving the bathroom. I mean,
it's kind of a thing, isn't it?
Pierre used to give me such a hard time, and now I'm like, I just look, and I'm like, see? Like, I'm not going to say that, but, like, I told you.
I know. You do you, as you say, but to me, it's always been important to get that residual fecal matter off my hands.
To get the S off your hands.
What about urine? Is that okay? Can you pee all over your hands?
I think you can.
Okay.
I think
right.
It's good for jellyfish bites, I've heard.
Yes.
It's supposed to help.
Wait, and does that actually help, or did we figure out that if you're peeing on someone?
They go back and forth about it. I think it's a joke, actually.
Right,
just,
okay.
You know, to add insult to injury. You're stinging and now somebody's pissing on your leg or whatever. So.
I hear that if you take a dump on someone's head if they're having a migraine, that'll work.
Let's try it because I'm still getting over one.
Are
right
you
now.
Really?
I'll do anything. You can dump on my head if it'll fix his headache, yeah.
So they're seeing an increase in cases, and basically they're just reminding people to make sure that you're doing the things that they're asking. Wear the mask, wash your hands, and social distance. A gas station employee is fighting for his life after a quadruple shooting on Wednesday night in Southwest Philadelphia. It happened about 7 o'clock. Police say a 28-year-old man who was an employee of the gas station was shot 8 times throughout his body. He's currently listed in critical condition at an area hospital. He was still working and was still inside the garage when some sort of argument took place that escalated and led to the shooting, said Chief Inspector Scott Small. Three other men were injured in the shooting. All three victims are listed in stable condition at this time. Police say they found as many as 15 bullet casings, most of them right outside the garage. More casings were found behind the gas station on the 6900 block of Theodore Street. The quadruple shooting is the latest in the out-of-control gun violence running rampant across the city. No arrests have been made at this time, but anyone with information about this shooting is asked to contact police. Since Sunday evening, $1.6 million in jackpot has been awarded at the Hard Rock and Casino in Atlantic City.
Wow.
The latest winner is an Atlantic County resident and local plumbing and HVAC contractor named James. He hit a $1.3 million Royal Flush Mega Jackpot on Ultimate Texas Hold'em with a $5 progressive bet, becoming an instant millionaire.
Wow.
It is surreal to have hit $1.3 million jackpot, especially because playing cards is a little different than laying pipes, said James.
So he hit the progressive on the table.
So what does that mean? Explain that.
It's a side bet that you can do a lot of times, right? Case like $1, an extra bet.
And honestly, if it was like anything else, I would have like kind of been looking at it sideways, like, okay, so they're stacking this to try and get more people back into casinos. But this is a card game. This is a table
right.
game.
Right. Yeah.
And this
to
is
rig
like,
that. No.
You can't.
You can't.
You can. Yeah. It's totally luck, and good for this guy.
Yeah.
We plan to take care of our family, put money away for our kids, and my wife deserves a nice trip, he said.
Yeah.
Hard Rock told 6ABC an additional jackpot of $90,000 was won by a Maze Landing resident playing Blazing Sevens on Monday. And on Sunday, two people won big on the slot machine jackpots, one over $168,000 on the Dollar Storm slot and $80,000 worth of winnings on the Double Gold slot machine.
So it's like this side bet, Steve. It's like an extra buck or whatever. I haven't played, Caribbean stud or anything like that in a long time. So
you're at the table, you're all playing.
And you'll see these numbers adding up. You know, right. You could win this amount, and it's like you would really regret it if you pulled the right hand and you didn't put that extra buck in.
Right.
So it's just what the hell. But if everybody's doing it, it adds up to big money for the casino over time.
Is it sort of like the equivalent of a prop bet?
A little bit.
So in blackjack, you can lay down a side bet that you are going to have the same up card as the as the dealer, right?
Okay.
And so it's similar to that, but it's you have to hit like a royal flush, which is you're not going to hit a royal flush.
Right.
The odds are pretty astronomical that you'll hit it.
So
well, that's
threw,
pretty cool then. If it's just an off chance.
Yeah, he threw down $5 and then won the $1 million. Yeah,
wow.
Good for him. All right, let's do sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The league championship series continued in baseball last night in the National League. The LA Dodgers scored 11 runs in the first inning that set a record on their way to a 15-3 Game 3 win over the Atlanta Braves. The 11 runs topped 10-run innings by four other teams. The 2019 St. Louis Cardinals, 2002 Los Angeles Angels, 1968 Detroit Tigers, and the 1929 Oakland Athletics for the most in any inning in postseason history. The Braves now lead the series 2-1, and Game 4 is tonight. The first pitch is set for 8:08. In the American League, the Houston Astros avoided elimination by beating the Tampa Bay Rays 4-3. The Rays are still up in that series, 3-1, and Game 5 is tonight at 5:07 in San Diego. And the Union and DC United tied last night in Washington. Mark McKenzie and Anthony Fontana each scored one goal, and the visiting Union earned a 2-2 draw against DC. The Union are unbeaten in their last three games, and they're back at it on Monday with a match in New England against the Revolution. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. So here we are, Thursday morning, all set to go. We have some stuff for you. We got a couple of guests on the program. Comedian Steve Burns is going to be joining us. He has got a movie called Opening Act that's going to be released in theaters and a video on demand tomorrow. Steve's great. He's been in the studio a bunch of times. He's a Pittsburgh native, if I recall.
He's great, yeah. And he's been telling us about this movie since 2018, I think. He's been working on it, so it's been sort of a lifelong dream, and it's getting very good reviews.
So we'll have Steve on the show around 9 o'clock. Before that, information about the Philadelphia AIDS Walk coming up. It is a virtual event, as you can imagine, this year.
Most everything is.
And so our good friends, Carrie Filer Bender and Rob Richards Reichard, are going to be joining us this morning. So we'll talk to those guys, see what's going on for the AIDS Walk, which, of course, is a huge event and a big, big tradition here in Philadelphia. We have some stuff that we can give away at some point today, and we'll just, you know, hang out. We'll do the Thursday thing.
Yeah, man.
It's pre-sad, bro. It's Thursday. That going for us, which is nice. All right. So let's take a break, come back in a second, and we'll do some giveaways, interesting, stupid question for you, and some entertainment stories to roll through as we begin the day. We'll be right back.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Today's stupid question prize is a $50 gift card to Nabraza. And the question I have for you, see if you can figure this one out. What song spent the longest amount of time at number one during the 1980s. This is on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. So the Billboard...
Number one.
Number one. What song spent the longest amount of time at number one? 215-263-WMMR. We'll go through some birthdays while waiting for an answer. Today is Thursday, October 15th. Vanessa Marcil from The Rock, Beverly Hills, 90210, Las Vegas.
Was in a relationship with Brian Austin Green. Yep. That was in the news recently. Yep. She had less than flattering things to say about him. But there have been. She was also in a relationship with Corey Feldman. So you take that for what it's worth. Yeah.
Okay. Take that. Definitely take that.
That might sully your impression of her opinion.
She's 52. Emeril Lagasse. Bam. Is 61 today. So, I was a huge fan of his.
He was the first of the second generation of what I would consider celebrity chefs.
He's the Food Network
breakout. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So there had been
the Galloping Gourmet
and Julia Child and a few of the others.
But he was the first one to gain traction with the Food Network.
Yeah, and he became the star. His wealth and fame was just massive as far as celebrity chefs go. And
you know who gave him a lot of crap? Anthony Bourdain. And then he retracted all of that once he hung with him.
I believe
it. And he actually issued a, he said, I've been very wrong about his impact on cooking.
Does he still have restaurants?
That's a good question. I would imagine he does. But I can't verify that, Kathy. He doesn't do the...
He does kangaroo yoga, Preston.
I see him on commercials. Like, he'll do those paid endorsements that are like a half hour long. What do they call it? Infomercials.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, it's some air fryer or whatever that he's selling.
I ate at one of his restaurants in New Orleans, the Commander, and it was fantastic.
There was one in Orlando, too.
Okay. He's 61 today. Sarah Ferguson, the former Duchess of York, is also 61 years old today.
She was with Prince Andrew,
I believe that's who it was.
Who is not on good grounds with the royal family these days.
No, there's all kinds of weird stuff.
Jeffrey Epstein.
Yep. Tanya Roberts, the actress, Charlie's Angels, Beastmaster.
Yeah!
I was looking for the Dar call to the hall. And he was like...
yeah.
I like Kakaw better.
Kakaw! Eagle!
She had the most stunning blue eyes.
And a rockin' body.
Yeah,
she was probably the best physique-wise of all the Charlie's Angels. She was long considered the Meryl Streep of the Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
That 70s show as well, she was on there.
Well, she wasn't on Charlie's Angels for the duration, right?
No, at the ass end.
She was later.
Yeah. Okay.
65 today. Larry Miller. I love Larry Miller.
Yes.
I not only love his comedic movie roles, but I love his stand-up.
His stand-up's great.
I dug his delivery. Pretty Woman, Nutty Professor 1 and 2, 10 Things I Hate About You, Necessary Roughness.
His humor can sit right between the words, because he'll do these things like...
Yeah,
these little faces.
And that's what I loved about his stand-up.
He's not in Best in Show for very long. He's really only in that scene when they visit him. But getting his son off the garage.
And he's like a crisis, negotiator.
They all jump.
Yeah,
I got a little secret for you.
Yeah, he talks about this one guy jumps off, heads hits a gargoyle, pops off like a grape, body flying around like a whirligig, smashed right down on the ground. He's supposed to talk these people out of jumping. And plus, the way he just is all over.
Yeah. Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, my God. So he's 67 today, Larry Miller. Eric Benet, who is an R&B singer, also Halle Berry's ex. He is 54 years old today.
I remember that. Yeah. So she was with the baseball player and...
David Justice.
Yeah. She's been very unlucky in love.
It's also Tito Jackson's birthday today.
Tito celebrates. Give me a tissue.
He celebrates his 67th birthday today.
You're my favorite, Tito.
I always forget amongst the rest of the Jackson 5 who was who and who played guitar. Was it Tito or was it Marlon?
It was Eddie Van Jackson.
Oh.
He's not really your brother.
He was really good.
I've forgotten, man. All right. Anyway, when you're outshined by Michael, it's hard to keep track of everybody else in the family. Linda Lavin of the television show Alice is 83 years old today.
She had a series 2 years ago.
Did she?
Yeah, she was the Nudgy Mom, and she was very funny, but it kind of came and went.
All right. Jim Palmer, the Baseball Hall of Fame pitcher.
Best also known for his underwear ad, right?
He did the jockey underwear modeling, that's correct.
I just heard him do like two innings, and his recall on baseball stories from his era was really impressive.
Wow.
It was some national broadcast, but they brought him on, and he just told one great baseball story after another. It was really, it was cool, a historical perspective.
He is 75 today. Richard Carpenter of the Carpenters, brother of the late Karen Carpenter, wrote a lot of the music. And
they were really, I mean, listen, their version of Song for You, the Leon Russell song,
yes. Mm-hmm.
is so good. I mean, they were really legitimate, but
it was very, you know, milquetoasty music.
Incredibly light music.
But her voice,
yeah,
just flawless.
And she was a drummer.
She was.
Yeah. Oh, I
absolutely
thought she was a singer.
No, she was a dancer, okay. Actually.
But no, she was a dancer.
Thanks. Oh, my God.
There's a contemporary singer now. Her name is called. Her name is called.
What is your name called? My name is called Casey. What is your name called?
Her name is Rumor, and she sounds very, very, very much like Karen Carpenter.
Wow,
these days.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a very rich voice.
Yeah,
her name is called.
Mm-hmm.
She's 74 today.
The Defiant. My name is called Justice.
Paige Davis of Trading Spaces is 51 today.
We always dug her.
Yeah, yeah.
We had her on for the reboot.
Had a bit of a crush on her, and yeah. And of course, my wife and I were on Trading Spaces, and she was standoffish. Actually.
She was
very
yeah.
standoffish.
But I follow her on Instagram. She still looks really good.
She's 51 today, and then the last birthday, Chris DeBerg,
Lady in Red. He's dancing with me.
And also, don't forget,
Don't Pay the Ferryman.
That was the second hit. That was an MTV darling.
Lady in Red was covered by,
I think it was covered by him. I think it was originally done by Iglesias.
Was it? Or was it the other way around?
I don't know.
Okay.
Did you find out, Nick?
Yeah. Who,
Lady in Red by...
Never seen you looking so lovely as you did last night.
Yeah, that was the...
Julio Iglesias.
Julio Iglesias.
Never seen you shine so bright. You were amazing.
He wrote it. Chris DeBerg wrote it. I forget which one of you guys said which. So.
Okay, yeah. It's his song. God damn it, leave him alone.
Back off.
Chris DeBerg is 72.
I'm tired of talking about it.
He's 72. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. What song spent the longest amount of time at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart in the 1980s? 215-263 WMMR, and I am going to go to Rich for the answer. Hey, Rich.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. Rich, do you know the answer? What song it is?
Physical by Olivia Newton-John.
You got it, dude.
Oh, my God. What a horrible song.
And I want to say... That was an early 80s hit, like 1980 or 81, somewhere around that time.
Physical.
Yeah. And it actually kind of launched an exercise craze.
Especially the wardrobe.
Yeah.
You remember they're all wearing that brightly colored spandex crap?
Yeah. All right. It was 1981. Nick just pulled up the information here. So it was on, it spent 10 weeks at number one. Man, 2.5 months. All right, since you got that right, Rich, we are going to give you a $50 gift card for Nebraza, open for curbside pickup and indoor-outdoor dining, serving a full 15 Brazilian meat service with a dedicated server to each table. Details at Nebraza.com, and it's courtesy of Fast and Furious Spy Racers Rio, exclusively on Netflix.
Let's get physical. I want to get physical.
Oh, my God.
Let me hear your body talk.
What's your body saying?
It's saying it has to go to sleep.
Little tidbit of information that Nick pulled up about this. The song's guitar solo performed by Steve Lukather.
Oh, my God, from Toto.
Yeah. So that guy... Once again, you know, they played on everything. Back in the 1980s, they were the go-to studio guys, especially him on guitar. So, all right. That was perfect timing with the part, by the way. Did you do that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Was excellent.
Great. Casey, play the fart.
So we'll start with some musical information. The 2020 Billboard Music Awards were last night, hosted by Kelly Clarkson. I just turned it on as a fluke.
Oh, really?
And caught the beginning. That chick can sing, man.
She can. I didn't grab that clip because I didn't know if anyone cared, but they did Higher Love.
Yeah, which I'm reading this story. It says, you know, they did a rendition of Whitney Houston's Higher Love. I'm like,
what?
Whitney, but I had to look it up, but yeah. Whitney Houston did a cover of that.
Oh.
But, of course, it's
Steve
Winwood that wrote it and had the huge hit with. Yeah. Well, I assume he wrote it. She was. I'm always impressed when I catch her singing.
She has a voice that can handle rock, no problem.
Yeah,
and she's really good.
So they did it at the Dolby Theater in L.A. And of course, it's amid the pandemic, so the festivities were different. There was no red carpet or audience.
There's one person out there.
She did.
That was very good.
She did that song with Pentatonix and Sheila E. Playing timbales and her, you know, percussion setup. It was pretty cool. Post Malone had a whopping 16 nominations. On his heels was Kanye West, who was up for 9 prizes.
Post Malone, again, is another guy who's legitimately
He's a musician. Lover.
Yeah, and yeah. He is. And he did that whole, remember he did that whole Nirvana tribute?
Yeah.
And it was really good.
Yeah, I love seeing the cross format love. I love...
Like people, Machine Gun Kelly.
I love people who can go and go through and flow through these different formats of music and show that they have respect for all different levels of music. It's impressive. I like it. Post Malone ended up being triumphant. He grabbed top artist and top male artist and 7 other awards.
Billboard's predicated on record sales, right? It's the direct. So you know if you're going to get it.
Yep. So he ended up taking home 9 altogether. Billie Eilish won big, snagging top female artist and top Billboard 200 album. I think we have some clips. Let's do a little bit of Post Malone.
Yes.
All right. So is this his performance?
No, it's just him just accepting.
Okay, here we go.
I'm not a man of many words, as you know. Last time, I think I accepted an award. I said, I love grapes, and I would like to... accentuate that statement because I still do, and I very much do. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Stay strong, and just spread love everywhere you go. Thank you very much.
I love that.
He loves grapes.
He loves grapes.
I do, too.
I mean, I would imagine somewhere in the food industry that grapes do an ad campaign.
Come on.
Oh, how can you not be recruited for that?
And have little grapes with tattoos on their faces.
That's actually perfect. Like, dude, right. The California Raisins. They can do grapes with tattoos on their faces.
Post Malone grapes.
It writes itself. All right, this is Billie Eilish for Best Female Artist.
Oh, my God. This is so nuts. Thank you so much, Billboard.
You deserve it.
No.
You really deserve it.
It's just, you know.
Her?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I like her, but the whole, it's okay to be really excited, but, you know, okay, anyway.
Thank you to all the women that have come before me and paved my way. I love you. Please vote. Please wear a mask. Please wash your hands. Be safe. Take care. Thank you, Billboard.
I wonder if she ever gets really excited because her whole tenor is very low.
She has had depression issues. So she's had those sorts of things.
You can never tell by her music.
It wears thin on me. And yet, Kathy, she'll pop out. I think she's on like an Amy Winehouse level of like she did a song, a new song. It's off her new album that's very torch songy, Preston, and very well done. I mean, she's good, and her brother's really good.
Yeah,
so I think she's got a lot of tools in her tool shed.
I was going to ask if you listened to her 007 song.
It's great.
Because it just got released like last week.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
It's good. I may have heard it.
It is super duper depressing.
I think all of her. Listen, she's got a good voice, but a lot of her stuff sounds the same.
A lot of the stuff is barely almost alive.
Yeah.
She does do that. It's very, very, very low key.
I saw her on with.
I want to rock!
I saw her on with Ellen once, and you know how Ellen is. And she. Yeah. I forget if she tried to. Scare her or like one of Ellen's things and like she just was like
The guy burst out of that how many times can they do that bursting out of the table thing before you know don't you get
but she gets everyone is because not every she doesn't do it to everybody so the people she does do it to they all get scared
but, you know what I guess in a world also that is filled with pop princesses that are whoa Yeah. Like that, you know, there's room for somebody who's doing it a little bit different. So.
Right.
All right, anyhow, what else did I want to mention? We also have a clip on Vogue, apparently, did a...
25th reunion.
Reuniting. Was it all of them? Because sometimes there's only three of them.
I don't know. I think it was the whole collective, Preston. Everybody, including...
We're looking at
all the original members.
Video. No, it's only three. Four? It's okay. Only three. So, one of them's missing.
Ringo wasn't there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, here's a clip. I worked in Top 40 Radio when they were hot, and so I used to know every one of their names.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. There's Maxine and Dawn. I remember those two. I thought this is a pretty badass song.
It's a great song.
And it's got a rock edge to it, too. So. All right, well, anyhow, the Billboard Awards were last night.
Yes. We do have a little bit of, because I'm kind of curious now. I want to hear the
Higher Love?
Yeah. Kelly Clarkson, Higher Love.
Oh, okay. All right, here we go. And try to see. All right, we spent enough time on the pop music. Folks.
Enough now.
This is MMR, right?
Let's get back to the rock.
Yeah, rock.
Rock.
All right, so we're going to dive into some non-musical stories here. Kristen Bell.
We're all set for the rock.
Kristen Bell is standing by Dax Shepard following his revelation that he slipped up after 16 years of sobriety. They were on the Ellen DeGeneres show yesterday. It's clip of Palooza today.
Yeah.
We have a clip of her speaking about this. So here we go.
Everybody's up against their own demons. Sometimes it's anxiety and depression. Sometimes it's substance abuse. And the thing I love most about Dax is, A, that he was able to tell me and tell us and say, we need a different plan, right? Like, we have a plan. If he has to take medication for any reason, I have to administer it. But he was like, so we need a stronger plan. I was faltering, and I have to do some sort of emotional work to figure out why I wanted to use again.
And she applauded her hubby for being upfront with her and her daughters about the relapse. She said that he is also addicted to growth and evolving, which has made his recovery easier. So
at least he was able to blame them. And then
you guys need to step up here.
I think these guys are going to be just fine. They support each other really, really well. You don't think so?
I worry because his initial addiction when he got sober was not opiates. It was alcohol and cocaine, and opiates are a whole different animal. So I there is legitimate concern on my end for him.
Well, we hope for the best.
Yeah, of course I do.
Yep. Kate Hudson, Zoe Saldana, Dakota Fanning, Katy Perry, Mindy Kaling, Michelle Monaghan, and several others are stripping down to their skivvies to raise funds for breast cancer. They are taking part in a social media campaign which was launched by Kit Undergarments, brainchild of stylist Jamie Mizrahi and Simone Harouche. Give that man a Harouche.
Yeah. I didn't get a Harouche out of that bastard.
For every purchase made this month, the brand will donate 5% of sales to the Women's Cancer Research Fund. So for every post of a woman, of a person in their line of underwear with a hashtag kits to cancer, they'll donate $1. So they're all getting on board. Yeah.
Did you see Zoe Saldana?
I did. Oh, I did now. She's beautiful.
And she's so good in those, you know, for genre people, she's just phenomenal.
All those roles.
Yeah. This disease and this, you know, I mean, there's a lot of attraction that's being made on it, but it's just, you know, like there's prostate cancer for guys and then breast cancer and, you know, they're getting better at treating it, but it's just it's obviously a horrific thing.
Yeah. So the Women's Cancer Research Fund supports research, education, outreach, and development of more effective approaches in the early diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of women's cancers. Let me see here. Kate Hudson. I thought this was kind of fun. Kate Hudson's on-screen romances may look perfect, but sometimes they are far from photo-ready. She reveals on Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop podcast. The 41-year-old said, honestly, like, I haven't had the best kisser. She said, I feel like I should have had better ones. The thing is, every time I kiss Matthew McConaughey, it's like there's something happening and there's snot or wind. At the end of Fool's Gold, she said, in the ocean, we had the plane crash and he just had snot all over his face.
Oh, my God.
Paltrow shared about kissing Robert Downey Jr.
You know me and snot.
She said, with Robert, when I kissed him, I was like, you got to be kidding me. It is like literally kissing my brother. So
Jesus Christ.
Because they're really good friends.
They are, yeah.
And when they get into that awkward situation, it's...
How do you think you would be if you had to execute a convincing screen kiss? It would depend on the partner, right?
Me with how I am as an
Zoe
actor...
Zoe Saldana.
As an actor now,
yeah.
It'd be weird probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're trained, you learn how to do that. So I took acting in my very, very brief college career. I took an acting class, and the first day was spent getting over the awkwardness
right.
of physical touch with each other.
Did they start right with kiss?
No, not kiss, but touching each other's faces and doing things that are really uncomfortable to you and a stranger.
Right, right.
They were just like, look, you're going to have to get over this. Like, you have to get over it right away because this is acting. This is what you do. You're pretending like this person is someone you know or you have an intimate relationship with, and you're going to have to get over that awkwardness.
You're going to have to lick those.
And it was pretty strange.
What?
Joe, whip them out. You're going to have to lick them now.
Lonnie,
look, you got to get over. But it was weird, and then by the end of the class, we got it. You know, we understood it. Nicole Kidman had auditioned for Notting Hill.
Yes.
She tells the film Star and her undoing co-star Hugh Grant in an article for Marie Claire. She said, I really wanted the Julia Roberts role that she played in Notting Hill. She said, I did, but I wasn't well-known enough and I wasn't talented enough. And she is, she's happy that she ended up not getting it because she ended up having a wonderful,
things worked out well,
successful career.
Did you meet her or are you just on the same set as her?
I was on the same set as her.
Okay.
She was
working.
Yeah, she was working. It was her and Kevin Hart. And
you knocked over a vase during the middle of a scene, right?
No. It was called The Upside?
Yes, it's with Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, and it's an okay movie. There's nothing special. It wasn't bad, but there's nothing special.
You should have jumped in while you were there and helped tweak it a little bit.
So I was on the other side of a wall from her. I didn't even actually get to see. I was watching her on a monitor, unfortunately, but it was pretty cool kind of being in the same.
Wouldn't it be great if you could just see you peeking around?
Hey. You want to kiss?
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm a big fan.
Hi.
So anyhow, she wanted to be in Notting Hill. Let's see here. How about this? Filming. So Christina Anstead talks about filming Flip or Flop with her ex, Tarek El Moussa. And she said, it's never been boring, she wrote on social media.
Even though I hate his guts.
The Flip or Flop stars were married from 2009 to 2018. They share two children, Taylor and Braden, alongside a pic of her and El Moussa standing in front of a house. She questioned season 9. How can it be? So they're back. They're working together.
They work together, right? They never stopped working together.
You know what? I don't know. I don't watch their show.
Do you watch her standalone show?
I watched a little bit of it because she and her now ex-husband to be were buying a new home, and so they were flipping their own home. So I was interested to see what was going to happen there. I've said it before, like. I just didn't like them as a couple. And so part of, you know, what I prefer when I'm watching those shows is
you want
just
chemistry.
Some sort of on-camera dynamic. And
I
didn't like their dynamic.
Yeah.
Didn't know this was going to happen. Joaquin Phoenix has booked a new gig since becoming a father. The Oscar-winning actor is taking on the role of French emperor and military leader Napoleon Bonaparte.
Huh.
Ridley Scott's upcoming film.
Well, that's top talent.
Which is called Kitbag, and I'll explain what that means. In a moment. So this is the first time that Phoenix and Scott are working together since they did Gladiator in 2000. The movie is intended to focus on Napoleon's historic battles, ambition, and strategy that made him a military genius. Also included in the film will be Napoleon's wife Josephine, with whom he had a tumultuous relationship.
Now, I've read recently, and I don't know if this is a finding that's just been within the past couple of years or whether this has been common knowledge or we've just been laboring under misconception, that Napoleon actually wasn't all that short.
It was apparently a smear campaign.
Yes.
Oh. So, and I guess that's the case, Steve. He was right. Kind of average height.
He was
6'7". No, he was 6'7". I want to say he was like 5'9 or something.
Yeah,
like
he wasn't. He was average,
more so. But from what I understood, it was used, his adversaries used it as a, you know.
To goose him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To get his goat. So
5'6".
5'6", okay.
He's so pretty short.
He wasn't tall, yeah. But he wasn't tiny.
Yeah, a little
he's taller than Tom Cruise, right?
Yeah, probably.
But, yeah, maybe same height.
That same size.
Yeah.
Wait, how tall is Tom Cruise?
He's 5'2".
No. 5'7".
5'7". Yeah, no, Tom Cruise is really tall.
So.
That's all you, Case.
About 5'8".
5'8"?
That's what my license says.
Okay. It's got to be.
It also shows a picture of a lunatic on it. That's not you.
That's true. It's on my coffee mug. The title of the film, by the way, Kit Bag, derives from the saying, there is a general staff hidden in every soldier's kit bag. So that's why they've named that.
All right.
Besides his busy film career, Phoenix recently added a new title to his resume, which is Father. He and fiancée Rooney Mara welcomed their first child together, a son, River. Named after his late brother who died in 1993.
Very nice. Rooney Mara is a good catch.
Yeah. I think,
and they're both very artsy-fartsy types.
Yeah, very much so. This is pretty wild, man. A crazy jewel heist scene on NCIS New Orleans got way too real for the actors involved when real cops showed up, pointed their guns at them, and now they are suing. The two actors involved in the scene, along with the jewelry store owner, have filed a lawsuit in L.A. against CBS for allegedly misleading them into shooting a realistic guerrilla-style armed robbery in broad daylight without proper permits.
Oh, that's a big no.
Or giving the cops and neighbors a heads up that they were doing it.
Can't do that. No.
No. Somebody could have gotten killed.
Yes.
The three men claimed they were approached by NCIS producers in October 2017 about filming a robbery, and they agreed to do it under the assumption it was a traditional television shoot with permits, police present, and standard safety protocols. Instead, the men accused CBS failing to notify local authorities and surrounding businesses that the armed robbery scene was taking place, which was set in the middle of a busy New Orleans shopping center. And you can guess what happened. According to the suit, the owner of the store next to the jewelry store understandably called 911 after seeing the actors jump out of an unmarked van in ski masks, carrying realistic-looking assault rifles, and yelling, "This is a robbery." This prompted police to race to the scene and point their very real weapons at the actors, who say they could have been killed by the officers with one false move. The three men claim the ordeal was terrifying, traumatizing. They are still feeling the psychological effects, and they're suing CBS for damages. So, yeah, you can't do that, man.
Yeah, it looks very convincing. Mm-hmm. We're on a TV show. It's okay.
Right, yeah.
But what if you're not?
Let's see. Speaking of TV shows, Princess Diana and Prince Charles are in the spotlight for the season. For season 4 of The Crown.
Did you watch the trailer?
I did watch the trailer. Yeah, it looks good. A trailer showing the pair and footage of Gillian Anderson as Margaret Thatcher has dropped. She looks great in that role.
She does. They always tamp down anyone playing Prince Charles. They never quite get the goofiness of Prince Charles.
Here is the trailer says, here's the stuff of which fairy tales are made, a prince, a princess on their wedding day. But the fairy tales usually end at this point with the simple phrase, they lived happily ever after. But of course, it goes on after that. So the new season drops November 15th, and the gal playing Diana looks great.
She's really good. And John Madden as Camilla Parker Bowles is an excellent choice.
Oh, wow. That's perfect. The gal playing Diana, if you remember in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, that race of people who are all gold skinned.
Yes, she was one of those.
She was, she was the leader of them, and so she has those really big eyes.
I think she laughs at. She's the one who laughs at Taserface, isn't she?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Taserface. All right, then one last story. Days of Our Lives has halted production after a positive COVID-19 test.
Oh, no, Kathy. Is this going to destroy you? You don't watch it. What's the soap opera you're watching?
No, I was it's off. It's gone.
Okay,
it's
gone. It is. The NBC soap will pause filming until October 26. A member of the production team had tested positive, and people who were in close contact with the person are in quarantine.
Now, weren't they faking romantic scenes with cadavers?
Not cadavers.
Oh.
With, you know, like real dolls and stuff like that.
Like, the make out of the back looks like the woman in The Shining press.
Can we get a body in here, please?
Cadaver, female.
All right. Let's get to the clips, you know.
I did it again. I knew it. Sorry. Wrong bank. Here it is. I started hitting the button. I'm like, I think I'm in the wrong bank here.
You were in the wrong bank.
I was in the wrong sound bank.
The Walking Dead World Beyond focuses on a new generation of kids growing up 10 years into the zombie apocalypse. Really?
Yeah, I started watching it. Okay. Yeah.
In this clip, showrunner Matthew Negret discusses how the show differs totally, or tonally, not totally, tonally.
Totally.
It's completely different. They're dancers. They're not zombies. No. Tonally from the flagship series. Here we go.
It's really about focusing on the hope. They're at a point in their lives and in civilization. They're 10 years after the fall of everything. And it really is for them about looking forward to the future. And it's not just about survival anymore. I mean, that is an aspect of it, but it's also about, like, what does the future mean to them? And is there a way to maybe bring back the world someday? So it's asking the bigger questions.
I don't think I want to see it.
Walking Dead World Beyond airs Sundays at 10 p.m. That's on AMC.
They say the zombies in this one are very similar to the Thriller video zombies.
Oh, so yeah. They're good dancers.
So they are dancing. All right, here's the next clip. The Outpost, it follows the lone survivor of a human race as she looks to track down her family's killers. How are you the last person in the human race? Well, maybe their killers aren't human.
Oh.
In this clip, star Jessica Green discusses the training that went into each of the action scenes.
We didn't get a lot of time there, so most of the time I would learn the first, like, count of four right before I shot it. I got a nice weekend of training, but apart from that, we kind of did it as we went. It was hard, it was a challenge, but I loved it.
I don't give a f***.
I think we're talking about two different shows here.
Because there's a lot of people in this particular
outpost. Well, no, this is an outpost, but the outpost you're talking about is one that is either on, I think it's on Netflix. It's a movie.
There are two different entertainment vehicles called The Outpost that are coming out this year.
Yeah, so wow. The Outpost is based on the Jake Tapper book, I believe, the one that you're looking at, okay. Which is there was an outpost in Afghanistan. Basically said, where you're sticking us right now, you're putting us, it's basically a death sentence.
All right. Nick found the right one. Yeah. It's on the CW. Yeah.
So is it basically the same plot line,
it's
though?
It's the same plot line.
They're both called The Outpost, though.
So we were watching, while we were listening to that clip, we were watching a video of all these guys in fatigues and stuff fighting, and we're like, that doesn't look like the last human survivor.
Well, sometimes that happens. The projects have similar names. The original name of Baby's Day Out was The Godfather.
I think there's already a gun.
A lot of times, that's why they had to listen, it's a baby. It needed a christening, right. You know, so it made sense. So The Outpost airs tonight at 9 o'clock, by the way, on the CW.
But watch The Outpost on Netflix. It's really, really good.
Okay. And then I need to hit this. We have a new Daily Rush video. It is called, the title of the Preston and Steve Daily Rush is There's Porn. And the description, good Lord. Says that Preston reminds us all the perverts out there that there's porn. You can watch it now, PrestonandSteve.com, and it's sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. I was watching one yesterday. I kept watching it over and over. It was The Beakless Rooster. Couldn't stop watching that, man.
It was a crazy story. By the way, Casey, your ducks.
Oh, yeah, we never got an update.
Oh, yeah, they're gone.
Okay.
You ate them?
We ate them. Yeah. No. Duck wings are good. No, we had to return them on Friday. So we had them for a little less than 2 weeks.
Did all of them hatch?
Yeah. No. So we got 7 eggs, 6 hatched. Latte didn't make it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did you open Latte? And Timmy.
What's that?
Did you open Latte?
No, I think we just chucked him in the trash.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you got all emotional.
Yeah. I was so sad.
You weren't more emotional because you're very, with, you know, cute animals. Yeah. You really latch onto them and you get all.
But you would have buried it or something. Kathy did that, right?
But... We
Well, we buried him. We
in
opened,
the garbage?
We opened him and then we buried him in the garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't bring myself to open him. I didn't want to see a dead duck in an egg. So.
What if a note had been left or something?
Oh, shoot, man. I didn't
it was
think
really
about
gross,
that.
Too, when, yeah. when we opened it because.
All slimy and stuff.
Well, because it doesn't form properly, like the what's in there, the yolk and the membrane and all of that, it almost like builds pressure in there. So when we opened it, it like exploded. And,
whoa!
Wow. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So it's like it's nature's novelty item.
And since I was the adult in the situation, oh, I had to, like, you know.
Exploding eggs.
Well, all right. Anyhow, we got to take a break. So let's do that now. Coming up on the program later on this morning, comedian Steve Byrne will be joining us. He's got a movie, which is out tomorrow. We'll get the details from him a little bit later on. We'll be back in just a moment.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Tala. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword, local shots. Tala, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Table for one, step this way, please.
It's time for the connoisseur. He knows all the great food to eat and where to go to get the best food, plus all the other fun food stories we love to hear.
I actually do have some pretty fun food stories, and that's why we're doing the connoisseur this morning, because a few of them aren't your standard ones.
You know what? Listen, this is a funny thing because I always get response after you do the connoisseur. We all eat and we all poop, and we're reticent to do an entire crapping segment. True. So we go with the food stuff.
All right. You're going to have to explain this one to me.
All right.
I'm missing it. Okay. Kraft, yes. Who makes, you know, the Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
Took a risk with a certain ad campaign, and now it's being pulled, apparently following backlash. Okay. In early October, Kraft launched a hashtag called Send Nudes. N-O-O-D-S.
Oh, yeah. My brother sent this to me.
Promotion, which, okay, now I get it.
Okay. Yeah.
Just after saying it out loud, now I get it. Which allowed fans to send a free box of mac and cheese or a coupon to redeem a free box of mac and cheese to loved ones.
So I got one.
Send it, really?
Yeah, because we send nudes to each other. My brother and I send nudes to each other. And but we both got the free mac and cheese.
So
fun.
Seeing this story this morning, I'm like, I didn't say it out loud. I just see N-O-O-D-S.
Right,
I'm like, that's short for noodles. That's what's the big deal?
Yeah.
And now that I just said nudes, it's like naked nude.
Yeah.
Okay. So apparently, some people thought that was a bit risque. Send nudes is a common noodle pun, but the promotion was not well received. Social media users said that the family company had sexualized the classic dish. One person wrote, stop. Listen to all these moms. We are your customers. And the uproar was big enough that Kraft killed the promotion.
I'll tell you what. The promotion was, and I'll guarantee this, as they lay out all the pros and cons, was a huge success.
Yeah.
Why? Because they got advertising traction on it.
Oh, sure. I'm sure they're not upset about it.
People aren't going to stop eating mac and cheese.
No. Yeah.
It was a little blip on the radar, but for the promotion, they got every cent worth.
But it is fun.
It is.
I wish they stuck with it.
It's playful. It's not like send us vagina pics.
That's different.
Right. Send us vagina pics would be harder to wiggle out of.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I think mac and cheese, specifically Kraft mac and cheese, is probably the top childhood food that, like, I still love to this day.
What's the other one?
All right.
Ramen noodles.
Ramen noodles just did send us pictures of your gaping anus.
Subtle.
Yeah.
I don't see the double entendre here. I don't.
And ramen noodles will pay for that. That was a bad call.
That phrase was send us pictures of your gaping anus.
Wow. Okay.
And people just...
I guess it came and went because I don't remember.
Which one was it?
The way it's spelled.
Was it top ramen?
Anus is spelled like ramen. Okay.
Was it cup of noodles?
Oodles of noodles?
Was it oodles of noodles? Yeah. Top ramen? By the way, I can't...
Oodles of buttholes.
I can't do the cup of noodles.
Yeah, I'm the who makes the
top package? Ramen and, like, I want to say... there's one begins with N-I...
Nissan? Yeah.
Okay, I didn't want to say Nissan, and I didn't want to say...
Nigeria.
Nincompoop. What is it, Nissen?
I believe so.
Tell you, in the world of like ramen, I love ramen. I love ramen noodles. And in my hopes of one day getting to Japan, that's like ramen palooza there. They have they have restaurants that just specialize in different types of ramen.
Yeah, yeah. The real deal ramen. The real deal is ramen. Yeah, it's really good. But my daughter, speaking of the Kraft macaroni and cheese, Caroline went with me to the grocery store the other day. And she said, she just starts to tell me how much she loves Kraft macaroni and cheese. And she said, but the best thing about it is what you can do with it and what you can add to it. And so she proceeds to tell me what she likes to add to it, which is she likes to add extra cheese to it and a couple and salt and pepper and stuff like that. And I go, yeah, I know what you mean. I said, I like putting salsa in mine. And you would have thought I just kicked a dog or something.
Was she backing up?
She was mortified by
backing up as if you just admitted to child porn.
And I'm like, she's like, and I'm like, it's excellent. It's like, it makes it Tex-Mex, you know? And so she could not wrap her mind around that.
I can see that completely. But you know, the funny thing is with mac and cheese is that it's one of those textural issues for me.
Oh, okay.
I like it overcooked. I like it crispy. I like
You don't like it al dente?
No, I don't. I like it really like with lasagna. I like the burned edges.
You do like it crispy.
I do like it crispy.
Undercooked then, yeah.
Yeah,
undercooked.
I like it. Whatever generates.
No, not undercooked.
I know what you're saying. Well, do you know what I'm saying?
Well, you generally boil the noodles.
Right.
If you boil them, they get softer. But if you bake something, if you can take pasta and you can boil it and then
that's
bake
how
it,
I like it.
That's how you like it.
Okay.
I was not clear
it.
In my
Yeah, you could get the mac and cheese, put a little more cheese on top of it, and throw it in the oven for a bit and get
that's
that.
My favorite. Yep.
Macaroni pie is something you should try.
Okay,
sometime.
Then that's probably what I'm looking for. Yeah.
Mac and cheese is probably the worst food reheated.
You think so?
Yes, it loses its taste.
French fries are the worst food.
Nick, I have your beacon here. Air fryer.
Air fryer, yes, no doubt.
Air fryers for French fry reheat.
And I'm going to help Kathy out. When you reheat it, add a little bit of butter to it.
Yeah, I know. I've done that, and I've done the milk, and I've even added different cheese.
When you reheat it, have the chef at Guppy's make sure.
I can make mac and cheese. Get out of here.
Do you prefer stovetop?
I don't know why I get mad. I can't cook. I mean, that's well known.
Neither can I.
Kathy, do you prefer stovetop mac and cheese or microwave mac and cheese?
Ew, microwave mac and cheese.
Okay, thank you.
No, I am a chef, please.
Also,
you just heard she was boasting about her culinary skill.
There has been, you know, a controversy about whether or not, like, a hot dog is a sandwich, and I'm not getting into
that. No,
I'm not doing that.
We're going to be on to abortion.
But is ramen soup?
It depends on how much broth you put in. Like, what if you get a, if you dump out the broth, then it's no longer a soup. It's just nudes.
It is what you want it to be.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it, because some people prefer a lot of broth in there. I like mainly just the noodles, and you can, it's either way, dude.
I agree.
Yeah, you can all agree.
I don't consider it a soup. I consider it, I don't know what you would call it at that level, but, is ramen itself a classification?
I believe so.
Okay.
By the way, Steve, we got a text in. The company that did the ramen noodles send us pictures of your gaping butthole, your gaping anus, was two girls and a cup of noodles.
There we go. Two girls and a cup of noodles.
So that was, that's the company that ran that campaign. Yeah. All right, so let me move on to something else. And Patty's on the phone line. She wanted to say that they would put tuna in their mac and cheese.
Tuna's a good addition.
I've heard of that. Yes. Thank you, but I got a bunch of stories and we need to move on to them. So,
sorry, needs to move on. Sorry about that, Patty.
Yep. Surveys have found that men are more reluctant to wear face masks during the pandemic. So Hormel Foods may have come up with a solution. Hormel, known for its black label bacon, has launched a breathable bacon face mask, which it describes as a revolutionary face mask featuring the latest in pork-scented technology.
Okay.
It says, if you want to breathe in the intoxicatingly delicious smell of bacon while protecting yourself from the coronavirus, Hormel is giving away the mask for free through October 28th.
So this raises a question. I had some guys coming out to do some an estimate on getting some work done on the house, and the guys had clearly just had lunch, and I had the mask on.
Yeah.
And I could smell what they had for lunch.
No kidding.
So if I can smell, and they had masks on.
What did they have for lunch?
There was bacon, certainly.
Okay.
I'm assuming a BLT. If I can smell that, Your
mask ain't working.
Right, exactly.
I don't know for sure, but...
Well, I was going to say, you might be a superhero. I mean, that might be
those guys themselves were completely made of bacon.
I had a server, I was telling you guys the other day, who was wearing it on her chin, and I'm like, why... What are you doing? You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, just a couple inches out.
Yeah, yeah. And here's another thing. So about bacon, and it made me think of beef jerky for some reason. We're going off on a different line of conversation here. I was in the grocery store. It was when I was talking about mac and cheese with my daughter. And I looked up, and we were in the area where there was beef jerky. And I've never tried this. It sounds unappealing to me, but I saw salmon bites. You ever had like a dried?
Do you have salmon jerky?
Salmon,
How are they?
I'm not a fan.
I'll tell you why that sort of interests me. Because again, with salmon, I can overcooked salmon.
Okay. Do you like jerky?
I'm not a big jerky fan.
Then you won't like this.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, take the pleasure that you get from salmon,
and
extract the heat and the moisture, and there's your
meal. I guess that's a good point. Yeah.
All right, anyhow, so if you want a breathable bacon face mask, you can go to breathablebacon.com. And for every request, they'll donate one meal to Feeding America, up to 10,000 meals.
All right.
So they're available while supplies last. So if you want one, you can get them. That could be kind of fun.
Have you eaten something and then put a mask on and have that smell stay in the mask?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
It was not fun. What is that?
I put the Vicks VapoRub on my nose, and then when you put the mask on, it'll at least clear that. It's almost like Febreze for your mask.
It doesn't bother me that bad.
I do get congested if I have to wear the mask for a while, the hot breath in there.
It sucks.
I might try that, Steve. I like that idea. Yes.
All right, here's another story I want to pass on. This is a restaurant story of sorts. San Diego-based restaurant group is looking to elevate the dining experience at Balboa Park.
It's going to be an incredible dining experience.
The Balboa Park Star, an upscale observation wheel, was thought up by the Cohn Restaurant Group and pitched to the Balboa Park Committee.
You're going
to
be a pretty high hired into birdies.
A 148-foot wheel will offer a new socially distanced dining experience for park goers for a limited time.
So it's a Ferris wheel.
It sounds like it. I haven't seen
The Eye in London.
A mock-up of this, but that's what it sounds like. So if approved, the temporary fixture would be in place for approximately 3 months. So it can't be, it's got to be somewhat temporary.
I thought we were talking maybe like one of those helium-lifted restaurant tables that we were talking about a couple months ago.
Yeah, kind of like the Zoo Balloon.
Like the Zoo Balloon.
But a restaurant?
Yes, yeah.
Those look pretty cool because your feet actually dangle. It's pretty wild. But the temporary fixture being placed for approximately 3 months, taking 2 weeks to assemble. It would be operated by Sky Views of America, the same company which operates San Diego County Fair's Grand Wheel. 36 gondolas would seat up to 8 people per gondola, with the view at the top stretching all the way to the downtown waterfront.
That's pretty cool.
The company said it wanted to offer a new way for people to dine after many restaurants closed down in March due to the pandemic. Safety protocols will be enforced, including mandatory face coverings for passengers and staff.
So, connoisseur, as people are obviously trying to get these restaurants back up and running and help these people who are out of work and trying to get inventive and creative, word is coming that in Philly they're starting to do those pod.
I saw that.
Tables.
Marissa, that's more the city beat for Marissa, but apparently it's successful from what I understand.
They can heat them.
Yeah, Marissa?
There's a couple of restaurants that are doing it so far. I haven't tried it yet, but, they're out there.
Hope we're on the city beat.
Yeah, there we go.
Wow. Crossover here.
Yeah. So you have any interest in, just for the novelty of it, going and checking it out?
Not really. It doesn't do anything for me.
Wow, okay.
I also haven't... None of the restaurants that are doing it yet are restaurants that I would go to.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Kind of kitschy.
They're garbage.
No, I did not say that.
Okay.
But there's only a couple that are doing it.
We wouldn't say that. But yes, you're right, Steve. Yeah. They are trying that out. And if it bodes successful, then maybe other ones will pick that up. But you're right. They can heat them so people can still be outside and be able to go to the restaurant and order. All right. Here's another story, connoisseur-wise. We're going to take a turn and head into the fast food department.
Time for some fast food.
So Bryant Hoban of O'Fallon, Missouri. I know O'Fallon, it's a suburb of St. Louis. Heard about Taco Bell discounting spicy potato soft tacos. So he purchased three of them and preserved them in his freezer.
Oh, discontinuing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, discontinuing, Casey. Thank you. So he then listed them on Facebook Marketplace for $200. He eventually sold two individual tacos for $70 each, but couldn't move the full set at $200. But people did end up buying it. I don't remember.
I don't either.
What was it called?
Potato shell taco?
The potato soft taco.
Is the shell made out of potatoes, or are there potatoes included in the taco fixings?
Spicy potato soft taco.
See, I thought it was more of a burrito than a soft taco. But they were getting rid of the potatoes. And this was recently, right?
I
don't remember this
promotion. They discontinued a few different items, but potatoes were never a thing that I ever had.
You know what I remember when I kind of tapped out on Taco Bell when I realized that they had just kind of jumped the shark and had tried to aim a little too high?
Yeah.
I forgot what the burrito was called, but it had tater tots in it. Do you remember that?
No.
I'm eating one, and I'm like, at some point, I'm like, what are you doing to yourself?
I think that's what this is.
And that was when I was big time huge.
This might be it, Preston, because
it was a burrito. It wasn't a soft taco. It was gigantic. It was, you know, one of those big ones, and it was loaded with tater tots as well as beef and beans and everything else that comes in a... It might have been like a cheeseburger burrito.
Wow. When you eat something like that, the feeling, that while it tastes wonderful
at the time,
at the end of the meal, you feel filthy.
You feel, yes.
Yeah.
Our potatoes, you want to go take a shower.
Right. Yeah.
Are potatoes good for you?
I don't care.
In excess, yeah. I mean, in excess, it's too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
But every...
every meal, yes.
There are low-cal recipes that I will make from time to time that it will include a side of some sort of potato, but it just all depends on how much you're eating. It's all portion size. So anything starchy to excess is not going to be good for it.
It's so easy to add so many bad things to a potato that I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah,
that's what happens, and that's what kills me. I've actually been able to, again, talk about consistency and something appealing to me that doesn't appeal to me in its original form. Sweet potato, like a sweet potato, mashed sweet potato, I hate. Sweet potato fries, I love.
Yeah, so, my daughter likes french fries and things like that, but she can't stand mashed potatoes. Yeah. I know, she's from another planet.
No, hey, I'm 100% with her. I don't like mashed potatoes, and I don't really like baked potatoes, unless, like you mentioned, there's cheese and sour cream. Yeah. Like, and so then at that point,
you're just eating cheese and bacon bits.
I don't.
Mashed potatoes make the world go round.
You know what?
That's what Burt Bacharach taught us.
You know what? I would like force them down on holidays, or if it came with a meal, and like I came to a point where I was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you forcing this? You don't love it. It's not that great. So I will get like a double vegetable or something instead of wasting the mashed potato.
And I eat
mashed potatoes because my husband likes it.
I was going to say mashed potatoes. Thanksgiving meals. It kind of like takes up the least amount of real estate on my Thanksgiving plate.
The mashed?
Mashed potatoes, yeah.
Yeah,
I think most of the plate is ice cream, right?
You got to start strong. I think a lot of people for this Taco Bell thing would use potatoes as a substitute if they're a vegetarian and ordering a Taco Bell. So they could get a potato taco and not get a meat taco.
Well, of my Irish ancestry and also with the Southern, my mother was a Southern cook, you know, potatoes would end up quite often being a part of a meal. I hate regular baked potatoes, there are various iterations I'm a fan of.
Yep. Hang on a second. Let me go to Ryan because he wants to talk about
potatoes.
All right, Ryan.
Good morning.
Hey, Ryan. Hey. What's up, bud?
Real quick, I don't have a whole lot, but maybe Nick can look it up because I know he doesn't know everything, but he's really quick.
It's not true, Ryan.
Potatoes are one of the very few foods you can survive upon. You can literally live for...
I recently...
For how long?
With potatoes and water.
I recently was reading something about that, Ryan, because I was reading about the film The Martian, which I've read the book, too.
Yes.
And obviously potatoes are a big part of that.
Potatoes.
But I think you can't live your entire life on just that. There are certain things that you might need. There might not be enough vitamin C in there.
You probably need to add some hash browns.
There is some nutrition you might need. Calorically and all that, you're going to be fine. But
Technically, okay.
All right, here's an entry, but I may be wrong. I'm not claiming to be an expert. It says, technically, the traditional white potato contains all the essential amino acids you need to build proteins, repair cells, and fight diseases, and eating just five of them a day will get you there. However, if you sustained on white potatoes alone, you would eventually run into vitamin and mineral deficiency. Right. So,
but who needs that?
But listen, you could live for quite a while, but eventually it's going to catch up with you. But thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it, man.
I stand corrected. Thank you.
Well, what on average would constitute quite a while? How could, you know?
I don't know. It may be, you know, I don't know. Once you get to break down what you need calorically and nutrition-wise, there's a formula there, and obviously hydration, too.
You know what I'm thinking in my mind?
That's the bare minimum.
Coconut steak?
Yeah.
Coconut milk? I hate coconuts.
Yeah. So hang on here. Jim says they're a superfood, and you can live. Wait, we just covered that.
Yes. Yeah.
But thank you, Jim. I appreciate it, and you can live on them. But but what I was saying earlier, if Nick asked if they're good for you or not, I mean, talking about balancing your weight and stuff like that, obviously, you got to watch the starch intake. Sometimes we'll be eating something for dinner. I'm like, this is all starch.
Yes.
You know, it's like potatoes, corn, and rice or something like that. It's like everything on the plate is starch.
You know, one of my big splurge meals is my Super Bowl Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, I'll do that occasionally. However, I would like something, one thing that's green on that menu.
Yeah.
And if they could add that, that'd be great.
So... you mentioned Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm more of a Popeyes guy, but either way.
I have a KFC story, by the way.
All right. Oh, you do?
I do.
So I was thinking, I think we all here love buffalo chicken dip.
Yes.
I was thinking about making a buffalo chicken dip and using Popeyes chicken, you know, with all, like, the breaded stuff. And what do you think?
I would be on board with that 100%. Yeah. Popeyes is really good chicken.
Because I have used in
love
the past.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
In the past, I've used rotisserie chicken. I prefer, I can't do this canned chicken and,
powdered chicken.
Try it out, because I'm not sure how the breading will hold up in a dip.
I'm interested as well.
You might have to actually take all that off and chop it up a little bit so you don't get it like a big chunk of skin in your mouth.
What was the restaurant that was here yesterday?
That was at Pagano's.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The chicken cutlet sandwich with broccoli rabe and provolone?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yummy.
Yeah.
All right, so you mentioned KFC. Yeah. I have a KFC story. They have created... A new sauce, and it's called KFC sauce. They describe the new sauce as tangy and sweet with a bit of smokiness. You know what that is?
What is it?
It's Chick-fil-A sauce.
Is it?
Tangy and sweet with a bit of smokiness because...
I'm Peter North, and I have news of a new sauce. It's called Splurt.
Yeah, the goof sound effect, Casey.
Oh, yeah. Some on the wall over there. Yeah. There you go.
Thanks, Pete. Peter, you're needed at table 7.
Yeah. No, I'll do it from here.
Just stands behind the counter.
I'll send it over from here.
Oh, my God. He's also the serving station.
Kathy, do you know who Peter North is?
Yes, I know who Peter North is, only because I work with you, idiot.
You know who Randy West is?
He can't do Peter North stuff. Yeah. Nobody can. All right. Anyway, because from what I understand, Chick-fil-A sauce is essentially it's honey mustard with some barbecue sauce.
Okay.
In a sense. So that's what this sounds like, right? Tangy and sweet. Tangy and sweet.
Very tangy.
With a bit of smokiness. It says it's almost like a creamy barbecue sauce. It's specially made to pair with KFC's extra crispy tenders.
God, so much of stuff that's not all that wonderful for you tastes so good.
They're releasing a newly revamped core sauce lineup.
A core sauce lineup?
Yes.
This is KFC?
Yeah. So you get classic ranch, honey barbecue, honey mustard, and hot sauce in addition to the new KFC sauce.
I'm a honey mustard fan myself. I do enjoy that.
I like it too. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my sister-in-law sent me this recipe for this delicious sauce that she made. I believe she did it with one of those services that sends you all the ingredients and you just make it.
Like HelloFresh.
Yeah, something like that.
Blue Apron. And
Who's your daddy?
It is called, the sauce is two, and you might be out on this one, Steve. 2 tablespoons of mayo. Are you not a mayo guy?
No, I'm fine with mayo. Absolutely.
2 tablespoons of sour cream, 2 teaspoons of honey, 1 tablespoon of soy sauce, and 1 teaspoon of sriracha. It is amazing.
Okay.
It is so good.
I am a fan of aioli sriracha.
That would be called a sriracha aioli, essentially.
Yeah. So, is that what that is?
Aioli essentially means with mayonnaise.
Okay.
Or, you know, so that's what that sounds like.
Okay.
But the sour cream sounds like it would soften it up a little bit. And, yeah.
Yeah. So I ended up using that and on International Taco Day a couple of weeks ago. I kind of used that as a I just wanted to test it out.
Do me a favor, I used it as a sauce
for my taco. It was delicious.
Do your Popeye's chicken. Bring it in.
If you want to make that your own, throw a little bit of garlic in it.
Ooh.
Try that.
Ooh.
A little minced garlic.
Ooh.
I had seen,
somewhere Peter North is grinning.
I saw on Instagram this guy took a Chick-fil-A sandwich, right? Yeah. And you know how it comes in that like foil bag.
Mm-hmm.
He took the Chick-fil-A sauce and another sauce and dumped that in the bag and then shook it up and ate. I just can't remember what the other sauce was. Do you remember? Do you know what it was?
But did he use what was in the bag? Was it fries?
No. He put the chicken in the bag. He took the chicken off of the bun, threw the chicken in the bag, put the sauces in there, shook it up, and then put that on top of back onto the bun ate it. And it was and it looks so
good.
It
sounds good. Mm-hmm. It does sound good. I'm down with that.
It sounds like a song. Take the chicken off the bun, put the chicken in the bag.
Chicken in the biscuit, picking out dough. Wait, is it this? Hang on a second.
What? Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. That's the one. Mm-hmm. No child, no.
What was the, so chicken
Peter North in the corner, dancing slow.
What was the question?
Chicken in a basket. Was there a,
Chicken in a biscuit was a cracker.
Yes.
How dare you say that?
Those are really good.
All right, but was it a, was there biscuits. A jingle for it? Is that what you're thinking of? Okay.
No, I was actually, I guess I didn't even realize that I was thinking about Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Okay, but, yeah.
All right, so you, okay. One more thing maybe? Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
These have been good and there's this something we can all use.
Yeah, these are good. This is a bit of a novelty item. And, of course, you know the President Steve show runs on Dunkin'.
Yes.
But I would not get this.
I'm having my Dunkachino right now.
They have introduced a new spicy ghost pepper donut.
This sounds formidable here.
I saw this. It's novelty. You know, it's for Halloween. So it wouldn't be for me.
Ghost pepper, the second most potent pepper in the world on the Scoville scale?
It's one of those potent peppers, please.
Yeah.
It's up there. It packs a punch.
Yeah.
Pleasantly. The spicy treat includes spicy ghost pepper strawberry dipping icing, according to a picture on Reddit, which is where the heat comes in. It's the newest Halloween offering from Dunkin', and returning on the Halloween menu.
Oh my God, I'm sweating.
Is the specialty spider donut, which is a ring donut dipped in orange icing and drizzled with chocolate icing meant to represent the spider's legs. That's cute. A glazed chocolate munchkin goes in the middle to be the body of the spider.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
The Halloween donuts and others are expected to hit stores actually yesterday, I believe. So
yeah, there are a few combos of really spicy with sweet, and I don't know if it's ever a novelty or if people actually enjoy it or not, but to me that's like I'll do the sweet and savory anytime. You know, the chocolate covered pretzels are obviously incredible, but the sweet and spicy does nothing for me.
Really?
I like jalapeno pepper jelly though.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when it's like that, I can take the sweet. And,
but not as a dessert, I guess.
No, that's more of an appetizer.
Right. Have you ever had cayenne in fine chocolate?
No. Yeah, it's
it will different. It works. It does work. There is again the place different. The Bellevue in the city.
Okay. Yeah.
What 19 is, the restaurant is?
Yeah.
They have a Swiss chocolatier in the lobby.
And,
at least I hope they're still there. I hope they survived all this. And they have that pairing, which you think on the outset would not be something that you would like. But again, the sweet and savory together does work.
Hey, oh my God, I totally forgot what I was going to say. What were we talking about again?
Peter North.
Oh, no. Oh, I remember. Hers. They have a spicy kettle corn. Have you guys tried that yet?
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it a lot. And by the way, people have asked about, we talked about their small Oreo puffs.
Yeah.
You know, the cookie puffs.
Yeah.
they are available. You just have to look for them. People have emailed me. Remember we had them on the Oreo flavored. It was sort of and they were excellent.
Yeah, they're
out there. You just have to look for them.
Okay. But going back to Dunkin', I got to ask you guys a question. Philosophically speaking, is it wrong to ask for a box of only glazed Munchkins because that's kind of what
you get?
Been...
What you want,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
For all the years, my first job was at Dunkin', and customer always gets what the customer wants.
Okay. Also, there are no calories in Munchkins.
Yes. No, you're right.
Well, yeah, it's so
limited calories.
I will tell you what, if you go with glazed Munchkins, which are little puffs of air, basically, they're not bad calorically.
Right. They're not good.
They're not calorie free, but they're not, it's not like, you know, a heavy duty.
Yeah.
You know, frou-frou drink.
Well, they asked, my kids asked for glazed Munchkins the other day. They ran out of them. So I ended up just getting a dozen glazed donuts and it felt like
dirty.
I could eat like 1,000 glazed Munchkins and not feel bad about it, but I can't eat 2 glazed donuts and not have
I know what you mean.
Some guilt. Sort of guilt.
Yeah.
Like, man, I just.
All right.
That was wrong.
I know what you mean.
I'm a tramp.
Hey, going back to the beginning of the conversation, which was around mac and cheese, I got this text from our friend Ra, who said that the funny thing about mac and cheese that's also been sexualized because sometimes the sound of mac and cheese being stirred is compared to the sound of sex.
Yeah.
Which is true. Mm. And we'll have to try that out sometime because there's something that Casey does here that
sounds like sex.
Sounds like sex from time to time. It's always off air.
Okay.
All right. So I want to try that today. Like can we access?
Yeah.
Can we access mac and cheese?
Oh, that I don't know.
Well, tell me, is this mac and cheese or is this sex, Steve?
That's mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember we did the contest.
Peter, can you top me off?
Table 7?
I'm curious as to what I do off air that sounds like
sex. Well, it's not moaning and groaning.
Yeah, it's when you pleasure yourself.
Yeah, it's when you're over your stand and you're rubbing one out in the trash can.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Sounds like sex.
Well, you're not going to tell us what it is?
It's when he puts hand sanitizer on his hands.
Oh. Oh, really?
I said that to you a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but I forget things.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Anyway. Do you like the sound of this?
Put some on.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
You want to hear it?
It's all right.
Yeah. It happens to a lot of guys.
It happens to a lot of guys.
All right. This stuff?
I don't.
Mm. Oh yeah. Yeah, getting close.
You gotta get closer.
Closer.
Now it's.
No more. You gotta lube up again.
No more.
Here we go. That's it. Okay. Yeah.
No.
Come
that's
on.
Not it.
More.
All right. Hang on.
Is there other that you use from time to time?
Here. No. This is the stuff that I use.
He uses moisturizer. I've seen you use moisturizer. That's not that.
Yeah. Why? I've heard sexier from you before.
Now don't forget to warn me.
I know you're not trying hard enough.
Oh
there it is.
I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed.
Sorry.
Anyway, all right, we got to take a break. So
are we getting mac and cheese or what?
We're gonna try, I guess, but we don't have time for that now.
Oh, okay.
Nick's mind is locked on mac.
We got to wrap up the connoisseur. Music, please.
Oh yes, here
as
you
we
go.
Wrap up the connoisseur.
Time to wrap up the connoisseur. Someone please get Nick some mac and cheese.
Yep. All right, we need to take a break. We have some guests coming up. Steve Byrne, comedian, is going to be joining us as well. We also got to talk about some of the events in Rocktober Madness and tell you what's going on with that because that resumes today. But we will come back with the Bizarre File in a moment, so make sure you stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We shall do the Bizarre File, and here it is.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Okay, we will dive right into it. We're going to start with a very strange story out of Alaska. The mayor of Anchorage on Monday admitted to an inappropriate messaging relationship with a local TV news anchor who lodged bizarre and unsubstantiated allegations against him. So Mayor Ethan Berkowitz said, "I apologize to the people of Anchorage for a major lapse in judgment I made several years ago when I had a consensual, inappropriate messaging relationship with reporter Maria Athens. And Athens is an anchor of the local Fox and ABC affiliate news station. She had posted a video to her professional Facebook page last Friday alleging that Berkowitz, the mayor of Anchorage, had posted an illicit photo of himself to an underage girl's website. The anchor claimed the accusations were coming from reliable sources and said that the story would be airing later that night. An investigation by Anchorage police and the FBI and the allegations
right.
found no criminal conduct by the mayor at all.
Right.
So, you know, obviously the police are going to go, wait,
yeah.
what's going on? So Berkowitz blasted the initial claims as slanderous and categorically false in a statement. Later that day, Athens posted to her Facebook page a nude image purporting to be Berkowitz, the mayor, along with the mayor's initial statement. The anchor was also arrested at work later that day for punching the station manager, whom she was also romantically involved with.
Yeah.
And Athens acted out at her Saturday arraignment, the newspaper reported as well, interrupting the court with frequent outbursts. And apparently she said, I have pancreatitis.
Well, there you go. All right. I mean, that makes people accuse other people of pedophilia.
And she also said she needed to get back to work by Monday. It's unclear if Athens is still employed by the news station. She was charged with misdemeanor assault, criminal mischief, and disorderly conduct for her alleged fight at the news station. So,
thanks for joining us tonight on the news.
Yeah, I guess yeah. she was, I don't know. She had something.
She's an attractive woman, obviously.
She is.
So they were drawn to her, but there you go.
That's, yeah, but I'm saying why, if they had what he said was a consensual,
right.
inappropriate messaging relationship, why all of a sudden is she wanting to kind of frame this guy? So, I don't know.
Either to forward maybe her journalistic career or because she felt he did him wrong.
Who knows?
And it's going to take a while to get to the bottom of that one.
It's a big step. All yeah. right. Most 11-year-old boys try to miss the bus, but this guy stole one. Baton Rouge, Louisiana police say that the boy stole a school bus and led several vehicles on a 45-minute chase. The child was so short, he couldn't reach the gas pedal without standing up while he was driving.
So are most buses now automatic transmissions?
I believe so, yeah. Police say the Sunday morning chase ended when the bus ran off the street and smashed into a tree. The boy wasn't hurt, but the driver of one of the vehicles he hit had a minor injury.
Jeez.
The bus was taken from a parking lot of the Progress Head Start Center in Baton Rouge. Police said that they don't know how the boy got the keys, and he faces several charges, including vehicle theft.
Dude, he was cruising in that bus, too.
I didn't see the video. Was he going fast?
Yeah, and there's about 80 cops behind him. There's somebody with a... phone footage from their car as the bus goes cruising by.
Wow.
I'll go back on this, Preston. But like, here comes the bus down the road, and then you'll see the bus, and then you'll see a lot of cops after him.
Yeah, he's lucky. He's moving. Wow, he's lucky he didn't kill somebody or himself. Wow.
Don't you think it'd be better to have to keep them as standard transmissions? That way you're probably going to get a better quality of driver.
No one can steal them.
Yeah.
Carmen and Travis Long of Riverside, California have a Pirates of the Caribbean-themed Halloween display in front of their home. And it contains fake flames, which are freaking people out.
They're pretty amazing.
Firefighters who responded to the home were so impressed with the faux blaze that they high-fived one of the residents and told them, great job. Now hundreds visit the house nightly for fun, and the family has started letting the firefighters know when they turn on their fake fire.
Did you guys see it?
I saw it. It's in their windows, right?
Right,
yeah,
it looks
really cool.
It's really well done.
So I guess they use their blinds or something like that.
Right, right.
It's really cool looking. So, three men were conducting a photo shoot on the St. Lucie River along Florida's Atlantic coast on Saturday when they fell into the water and the boat kept going. It was driving around unmanned and out of control. I guess they didn't have like a dead man switch on it. The boat circled the men numerous times, forcing them to dive underwater to avoid being run over.
Yeah, yeah.
The boat then straightened out, hit a concrete block, went airborne, and hit a second dock before coming to a stop. Sheriff's office wrote about the incident in a Facebook post, noting that the men were able to swim to a nearby sailboat. One of the men suffered a minor injury. The investigation has been turned over to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Wow, that would be terrifying.
Yes,
man.
Of course. Yeah. Your own boat kills you.
All right, and there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file. Oh, which, by the way, has been brought to you today by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware. Thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. All right, normally we have our two guests that we have on the phone in the studio to talk about this event, this long-time event that has taken place and originated here in Philadelphia. It is time for the AIDS Walk.
Yes.
It's this Sunday, and like pretty much everything else, it has it's going to be done virtually. So we need to find out the details of that and what all one might need to know. So please welcome our friends, Carrie Feller Bender and also Rob Reichard to the program. Hey, guys.
We miss seeing your faces, y'all.
I know. We miss seeing you guys, too. It is, as they say, what it is, but the show must go on, and that it does. So who wants to start here? Rob, you want to begin? Carrie, who's up for giving us some information? What we need to know about the virtual event?
Rob, Carrie, take here. It away.
Okay, fine. So, you know, this is more than ever. People need a safe place to live. They need to be in their homes. And the AIDS Walk, while we can't be walking along a beautiful fall weekend along the River Drive this weekend, we're encouraging people to walk at home and raise funds for emergency services with people living in HIV here in Philadelphia. So what we're doing, we've put together a fantastic video, including WMMR's own Pierre Robert, the Dukes of Destiny, who both of whom, the Dukes and Pierre, have participated in every single one of the previous 33 AIDS Walks. Can you believe this?
33, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we're asking people, come. We have a video, including a warm-up and a playlist that Pierre put together for us. And we're asking everyone, come together as a community, watch this video, and then go out and walk in your own neighborhood.
Okay.
Then you can, we're sending people their swag, their T-shirts. We've got the AIDS Fund, AIDS Walk branded masks, even if you raise $250. And we'll send it to you, walk in your neighborhood, and help spread the awareness around HIV, which, of course, hasn't disappeared.
Yes, of course. And you can go to AIDSWalkPhilly.org for information. Rob, I wanted to ask you, maybe you can shed some light on this. Obviously, COVID, has put the kibosh on a lot of live events, and especially the immunocompromised are in the danger zone should they be affected by this. What has been the effect on people living with HIV/AIDS with COVID in the world now?
Well, you know, for people who are active in care, hopefully their immune system is strong enough to combat COVID. But too many of our friends, family, and neighbors aren't in care. And, you know, being HIV positive just puts you at higher risk for so many other things, including heart disease and lung cancer. So those things that also put you at high risk for COVID will certainly impact people with HIV. So it's critical that we keep people in their housing so that they can be safe. It's critical that we make sure people living with HIV are able to see doctors, regularly as part of their treatment course. So all of those things are going to help people. And of course, we know that so many people who are living with HIV, particularly people who may be active in their substance abuse or homeless, are going to be extremely high risk. And so we're very concerned about the impact on people living with HIV. In addition, basic needs have to be met. And that's our goal at AIDS Fund.
Okay.
You know, we want to keep people in housing. So people are losing their jobs. So they're becoming housing insecure. And so we're able to step in and offer grants to keep them in housing when they are eligible for no other programs.
Well, you know, the feel of this can be replicated by you simply, you know, those who support and walk. You can go walk wherever you want to in whatever park you want to do it, however you approach it, be safe about it, and get that same vibe. The goal is still the same. You know, the encouraging news is that a number of these things that have gone virtual have managed to get in the ballpark of what they've done in years past. It's not going to be the same, that's for sure. But I think if people are moved to support, you know, I think you could have a good situation here. And for people who actually never wanted to or were never able to make it down, here's a way to remotely participate and maybe add a new layer of participants that you didn't have before.
Well, that's one of the beauties. We have a family that has participated in every walk since the beginning because they learned that their brother was HIV positive shortly before the first AIDS walk. There are family members who are going to be walking all over this country this weekend in that family, as far away as Oregon. And so, you know, that's, you know, when you look at, I'm going to miss being down at the Art Museum on Sunday.
Right.
Without a doubt. We're all going to miss that. Everybody, this has been our tradition for so many years. But what I'm really excited about is that people are going to be out walking in their neighborhoods and raising awareness in their own neighborhoods about the ongoing epidemic. And that to me is really exciting about this.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I was looking at the weather forecast. Normally we say, hey, the weather's going to be good Sunday, you know. So wouldn't this is the year that we need it to rain really heavy, so you don't have to worry about that. And, of course, it's going to be a halfway decent day, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
You're going to be able to contribute and participate. And just to put some numbers on it, to give you some perspective, and you guys can tell me whether these stats are correct or not, but over 19,500 people, or roughly 19,500 people in Philadelphia are living with HIV with the disease. And 30,000 individuals in the greater Philadelphia region are living with the disease as well. So if that number is correct, I think that that's a good motivator for people to be a part of this event.
The numbers are correct. And, okay. You know, we continue to have this ongoing epidemic that doesn't get the attention that it once does. And so we really appreciate MMR's annual support in helping us get the word out. But yep. We can treat people with HIV, we've made tremendous medical advances, but people need to have their basic needs met, and that's where AIDS Fund steps in.
Okay.
Making sure we keep them in their housing, we keep their utilities on, we get them a walker when they need one. All of those things that, you know, 75% of the people we provide grants to are living below the federal poverty level. So, you know, they really don't have access to other resources. And, you know, that's where we come in. The support goes directly to help people living with HIV.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, again, it is this Sunday, 8 a.m., and AIDSWalkPhilly.org, or if that you can't write that down or anything, just go to PrestonSteve.com. We'll have the information there for you to participate in. And, of course, the one and only, as you said, Carrie, the Duke, will be a part of it once again. 34 years. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, kudos to you guys. Great job being able to make this happen this year with all the extenuating circumstances that we have. And we wish you the best of luck. And we know the city's going to come through once again. So good luck
Y'all
with everything, guys.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Carrie and Rob.
Yay!
Thank you guys. That's a tradition, hopefully a tradition that you participate in because it's such a big thing. We need to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. Some guests are joining us this morning as well as continued guests. We're going to have Steve Byrne on. Got a movie coming out. We'll be back in a second. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Some updates on Rocktober Madness from yesterday's matchups. Dave Matthews' band against Aerosmith in the Pierre Pancake bracket. Aerosmith beat DMB. Then you had in our bracket, Stone Temple Pilots against AC/DC. AC/DC won that one. In the Jackson and Sarah bracket, we were curious as to which way the Prince Tom Petty matchup was going to go, just because it's been so weird.
Yes.
And Tom Petty won that.
Okay.
And then the last matchup was in the Jackie and Brett bracket, and it was, who was it? Oh, yeah. Rush against Shinedown, and Shinedown beat Rush. I was a little disappointed by that, but, you know.
Shinedown fan think, base.
I didn't think Rush would go the distance anyway.
No.
So I would just like to have seen them get a little bit further. So the next matchups are Offspring and Sublime, followed by Ozzy and Queen. Then you have Green Day against Pink Floyd. And then the final matchup will be The Doors and Iron Maiden.
The Doors pulled an upset. Who did they beat in the last round?
They beat Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pierre's getting his ass kicked in this thing.
Yeah, so I am still holding out hope that, and I was curious, my two top contenders, I think, so far are AC/DC and Tom Petty. I see either one of those winning the whole thing. I didn't fill out the bracket.
No, so. Neither did I, because I always get it wrong, and it's depressing.
Yeah.
I would...
AC/DC has new music coming out, and Tom Petty is just beloved, and you know.
We've seen bands that just pull ahead, and again, I don't ever underestimate the rabid fan base of Shinedown.
Yeah, I just pulled this up, so I know it's not what we're talking about.
Sorry. We shall see. Going back to the Killers. By the way, that MMR October Madness kicks off today at 11:30. This is in 2020. Lindsay collaborated with the Killers on their studio album. Who's Lindsay?
Lindsay Buckingham.
Oh.
That guitar solo that you like at the end of that, it's Lindsay Buckingham.
No way.
Yeah. I just found that out as well.
Okay.
So he worked with the Killers on this record, and he is the guitarist on
Emotion. I love Lindsay Buckingham.
By the way, I was going to talk about something else, and we probably will, but I will bring this up real quick since you mentioned Lindsay Buckingham. The Dreams thing. That's
Stevie Nicks did the thing.
Mm-hmm. Stevie Nicks jumped on and did that, and so did Mick Fleetwood.
Right.
And a few others, and I missed it. I missed the whole
You
thing.
Saw the original,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, eventually, after it was already gigantic. This is the video of the guy on the skateboard.
Right.
Singing a part of Dreams. I mean, it's a, what is it, 10-second video, and all of a sudden it kind of exploded, and I was like, I don't know. I don't get what the big deal is.
There's so much of that stuff now that pops up every 2 minutes it's easy to miss out on those things.
One thing I do like is the fact that there is some renewed interest in Fleetwood Mac.
Yes.
Which I think is really cool.
I just watched the dance the other night, the live.
I love that.
That is a great concert. Film, I guess you call it, or whatever it is, but it's an incredible performance. And I forgot that Courtney Love is in the audience for that.
She is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it was two nights in L.A. I think it was 97 or 98, Steve, that they released that. It's a great live DVD and CD as well. And it's cool to see the whole band still vibe together. And they've kind of, you know, fallen apart since then because Lindsay left the band and Christy McVie has been in and out so many times. But I love that live record.
So the guy's name is Nathan Potica, who did the skateboard, the original video. And I guess he was just, you know, he just posted it. And it took on a life of its own. He, like, didn't do it to get a viral reaction. But sometimes you never know. You don't know what's going to take off.
He now has a home in Calabasas and a $30 million.
But now he'll be thrown on the pile of all the other 10-minute sensations.
And there's a ton of them.
And there would be more.
There
will be more, and these will come and go, and someday, you know, it's just 15 minutes, but that's a lot of time. Very rarely does one turn into career, you know, or something that really...
not everyone's a PewDiePie.
...goes the distance. Yeah. For the most part, it's a flare-up.
Right.
And, dude, you better grab it while you can.
Yeah. TikTok
is... Get whatever money you can out of it as quickly as you can, because it will be gone before you know it.
You're so right.
Marissa?
Did you see that Ocean Spray gave him a whole, like, year supply of juice and a car?
Oh, and a car.
And a car.
Yeah, there's a pickup truck that all the juice was inside of. That was part of the gift as well.
Wow. So, Marissa, on TikTok, we talked about the way these things are monetized and the views and how people and they actually end up making money off it. What is it per view if you...
I don't know what it is on TikTok. I know a lot of companies were staying off of TikTok because
they thought it was going away.
No, you actually weren't able to monetize.
Oh, all right. Via TikTok. It was my understanding that there's actually, like, you know, cents on the view or something like that, but maybe I'm wrong.
That could have changed, but I know that's why a lot of the TikTokers will post them on Instagram and Instagram Reels, because now Reels is trying to replace TikTok.
Oh, for reals. It's amazeballs.
Awesome sauce.
So I guess, you know, what you need to do is you have to take that and take it to another avenue and try to make some money via an advertising campaign or something like that. I don't know. But it has had people revisiting or discovering Fleetwood Mac's back catalog. The Chain and Landslide are now both on the Spotify US chart, and across all streaming services, Fleetwood Mac songs were up 68%.
I love that band, and Stevie Nicks is a giant. She's unbelievable, her talent.
Yeah, she's everybody was great in the band. They're very impressive. You look at the makeup, they're one of those supergroups of like the Eagles or the Beatles. You know, this group of people managed whatever paths they took in life, brought them together, and then boom. A little bit different, though, because they were kind of chosen, and as opposed to the Beatles, which were just guys that kind of grew up in the same town, and they made a band, and they were incredible. These were kind of handpicked here and there, and some shuffling around of the lineup. But eventually it landed on the right magical people got
for
together.
That Rumors album and, was just exploded.
Masterpiece.
And then at one point they were all banging each other, which makes me think it would be a really good movie at some point.
And they did obscene amounts of cocaine.
Yes, they did.
So good for you guys.
Yeah. Keep at it.
All right. So
cocaine is very good.
The other thing that...
Oh, no, that's very bad. I'm sorry.
If we've learned anything, cocaine is great.
Yeah.
No.
I think we learned it's bad. We always learn the wrong lesson.
Another thing that kind of went viral the other day, but not to that extent. This was just a tweet about a beloved card game, Uno. And I know you hate Uno.
I do hate Uno.
You pretty much hate all
I do. Games. I do. Uno was one that was foisted upon me a number of times. Like, try it again. Try it again. All right. And it's one of those things I know it's my ADD. I don't blame the game itself, but it just bores the F out of me.
Well, it's not your thing. Yeah.
It's not my thing, man.
But I've played a gazillion games.
I'm into Uno.
My kids, day before yesterday, asked me if I wanted, they had some friends over that were, you know, doing some school work and asked if I wanted to play, and I had some work to do, so I couldn't do it. So people still play Uno quite regularly.
It's a very popular game.
I don't remember ever pulling this, okay? So Uno recently reminded people on their Twitter about a rule that nearly everyone seems to ignore, and people weren't all that happy about it. Yesterday, Uno tweeted about one of the rules that many people seem to be ignoring, so much so that it has become an official, unofficial rule where everyone knows that you can do it, though it's not mentioned in the official rules. And so the tweet from Uno read, "Per management, you cannot stack a draw two on a draw two."
Which means what?
Or a plus two on a plus two. So the way Uno...
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
That's part of the original rule?
So, no.
Okay.
Well, it says you can't do that. So, here's what I had always done, Kathy, and tell me if you did or not, and then I'll explain how this goes, Steve. But if somebody puts down a blue plus two on you.
Right.
And say you have a yellow one.
Yeah.
Then you would put your yellow one down. Now, would that mean that the person next would have to draw four? Did you play it that way?
No. Like, I would have to draw the two, and then if I put the yellow two down, the person next to me would have to draw
two. No, you draw two and lose a turn.
I think you lose a turn.
Mm.
But anyhow, they're saying what people were doing, Kathy, was they would put down, somebody would put down a blue plus two, then they would play a blue plus, like a yellow plus two.
Yeah.
And then they would say the next person has to draw four. And if they would throw down like a green plus two, the person after that would have to draw six.
Oh, that's getting
I've
too
never
confusing.
Played that.
No,
we don't
and
play that.
And Uno
way.
Says this is this is what they believe the standard rule should be, but no one plays that way.
They say that you can't do that.
Oh, I have no idea.
You cannot do that, but people were doing it anyway.
And it's not stated in the rules. See,
right.
I recently read the rules because we're into Uno now at the house. So
I'm so sorry.
Just like the no, you know what? I don't mind. Uno is way better than some of those damn board games that he loved Monopoly for.
Oh my God! Well then, okay.
We would leave it out and like play over days, weeks. So now he's just into Uno. I'm fine with that. But so I recently had to go over some of the rules with him. Because he likes to make his own rules. But I didn't see that in there about the you can't put plus two on plus two.
They also say that you and some people were doing it with the wild card plus fours.
Right.
But that you absolutely lose a turn on there.
So. Yeah.
But
well, all right. So if the rule does not indicate that you can't stack, does it indicate that you lose a turn
in the rules?
That I don't know.
I need to see the rules.
I would have to read that.
Because that is the rule then, and then you can't just make your own rule on top of
the
that.
Refresh my memory.
Well, the way it works, Steve, is you have cards of different numbers and different colors. There's four different colors.
Right.
I believe they're yellow, red, blue, and green. Mm-hmm. And then you have other cards that cause things to happen. Like there's a skip.
Okay.
There's a reverse.
Right.
Then there's a draw four.
Okay, I remember that.
And then there's draw twos. And the draw four is wild. I forgot what that means.
It means you pick your color, right? So you have a regular wild, which has no draws to it. You just throw the card down. You pick the color. And then you have a draw four, which is a wild plus.
Which means you change the color and you can...
And the person...
The next player has to draw four. Okay, yes. I gotcha. So what happens, Steve, is if somebody puts down, you can match... the number or the card command with a different color. So if somebody throws down a green skip, you can throw down a blue skip and continue to play. Skip's a bad example. A reverse. Let's say somebody throws down a blue reverse and it goes to your turn. And then you can put down a red reverse and it will turn around and go the other way.
You could be speaking Mandarin right now and Steve would be less interesting.
Here's what I was always figured out weird was when you were playing with just two people and you'd play a skip.
Right.
It's just your turn.
It's just your turn. Right.
That's all.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the rules go out the door when you just play with two of them.
Yeah. And a reverse. Yeah.
Reverse, skip, draw two, draw four. They're all, you're just skipping the other, your competitor's turn.
Yeah.
Now.
What the f***?
Two things. When you have two cards left, and you have a draw four, and you throw the draw four wild, now you're left. You have a yellow in your hand. Will you call the color that you have? Or if you're playing with more than one person, do you call the color that you have, or do you play a little mind game?
They think that it's your color, and they really try to change the color.
Uh huh.
I usually play it pretty straight, but that's a good strategy.
Yeah.
I would like Uno the Purge. That would be cool.
When you get Uno, you get to kill another person.
Person at the table.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I like
it. In the last Walking Dead, Far From Beyond, whatever it's called, these kids are in a...
Spring break.
They're in a treehouse.
Yeah.
And it's nighttime, and they're just kind of trying to pass the time. And they find a Monopoly game, and I couldn't help but think, I'm like, if this was Steve, he would jump out of the treehouse and feed himself to the zombies.
I would dive out into the zombies.
In fact, I
would put the new sauce from Kentucky Fried Chicken all over me.
Steve, we play Monopoly all the time at our house. My son loves it. It's funny because there are parallels between Monopoly and Uno, where rules just change over time. And one that is now common, and I think where most people play Monopoly is... free parking gets you $500 automatically. Any fine that you pay goes right into the
kitty.
That's
what we would do. We would throw the fines in the
modified rules will become part of the accepted rule, even though it's not codified by the actual.
Yeah.
What is the rule?
You can have house rules.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
When you get to free parking, you're not supposed to get money. You're not supposed to put that money. Like if you get fined $200 for whatever, you're supposed to just pay that to the bank.
Huh.
It changes the game and it makes it a little more fun. And there's kind of a lottery involved.
Feel free to call with your house rules if you want. 215-263-WMMR. It's like a pool. You know, we have a pool table. I got house rules.
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely.
What are the rules?
Fold your laundry on it.
You do your laundry on it. If you sink a ball and scratch, you have to pull that ball back out.
Okay.
1 foot on the ground at all times.
All times, I get that.
I've forgotten the rest of them, but there
isn't 1 foot on the ground at all times a standard rule.
Yeah, but if it's your house, you can change it. We always call the pocket. No slop, we call it. If you make a slop shot, you lose your turn.
Okay.
The ball stays in, but you lose your turn.
You also have foosball.
Yes.
No spinsies?
No spinsies ever. Get out of my house.
Yeah, what are you, seven?
Spinsies is just a cheap... don't play.
They had foosball tables at my kids' middle school.
Right.
I taught them strictly no spin. And they would go and play at school. Nobody there has a foosball table. And they would play by our house rules, and everybody thought it was funny and stupid.
Because they were spinsies, aren't they?
They were spinners.
Sons of bitches.
Spinners. Spinners.
I bought a chess board last week. I love playing chess, and checkers is fun, too. On the reverse side of the chess board is a backgammon. board.
Oh,
I've never played backgammon.
My wife loves. Right. She's taught me about 44 times.
Yeah, I forget every time I play.
I tried watching a YouTube instructional video on how to play backgammon, and Steve, the face you were making while Preston was explaining Uno to you was me. Was the same face that I had while trying to watch this backgammon video. I don't think that backgammon is inherently that difficult.
It isn't. It actually
isn't. I've never played it.
You just have to play it enough to remember the rules.
I think there's two versions of it.
All right.
And one is more difficult than the other.
One is gaping anus backgammon.
Correct.
Well, I don't want to play that one.
No, the
don't knock it till you try.
I played it at the little cigar shop. They, you know, they have
like
a little. I loved it.
Okay.
And I actually was
it's a fun game.
Was good at it. Like right off the bat,
you're pretty good at board games. So like,
you're very good at board games.
Not like strategic games, and so there's strategy with the backgammon, and it didn't take long for me to figure out the strategy.
Okay. I think I just got to dive in and play.
Yeah, so backgammon is one of those games that again, I can get into a little bit because my wife loves it so much. The video game versions of it are pretty true to the actual gameplay. A game I've never understood is Mahjong.
Yeah, me neither. Do you like chess?
Chess I do enjoy. Yeah, chess to me is more tactical and more strategical, and I do enjoy it.
Mexican train dominoes is, I couldn't believe how much fun I had playing that.
Did you play that because of Preston's wife?
No, so we played it beforehand. I actually, we went, it was a game night at a friend's house about a year and a half or so ago, and I went over there thinking that we were going to play Pinochle, and I'm like, man, I haven't played Pinochle in a while. And they ripped out they brought the dominoes out, and I was so pissed. I was like, dude, I don't want to play dominoes. And we left that night, and my wife and I were like, I cannot believe how much fun we had playing dominoes. Yes.
By the way, Steve, this person has your house rule, okay? Their house rule is don't start playing the game.
Oh, that's a good rule. That's a good rule.
Here is, let me get a couple of calls here. First, I'm going to go to Deb, who is an Uno expert.
All right.
Hi, Deb.
Hey, good morning. Sorry to bother you guys at work.
No, we need to know what's your take on the stacking thing.
Oh my gosh. Well, we don't play by the rules at all. My dad and I have been playing since 1983. He has records where we've played probably 20,000 games.
Wow.
I actually probably win the majority of the times. There's no rules in our play. We will use draw fours. On top of draw fours, on top of draw twos, reverses, there's no rules in our book. So we just play one-on-one. When I end up playing with a group of kids, they get so mad because I don't play by the rules, but I'm older, so I can kind of do whatever I want.
You can do what you want. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can tailor the rules to guarantee a victory, that's pretty smart.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I think with it's more fun when you can have seven cards in your hand and you put down a draw four, a draw two, a skip, and then you're out and the person's sitting there holding all their cards. I mean, my dad's 80 now, so I feel a little bit bad, but...
That's a fun way to end. Yeah, definitely.
So the ultimate way that you win in Uno by being left with, what, one card?
No. You go out first. You no cards.
All right.
And then you agree on maybe a point total, Deb, on who wins, like 500 or something like that, because you can end up what cards are left in your hand.
Oh, I see. I forgot how it
Or a number of hands that you play or something like that.
Right. So we won't keep track of the points we have left. We strictly keep track of how many games we play.
Okay.
So in the course of an afternoon, I mean, we might play 50 games, you know, but we also have rules where if you play 10 games and you've won 8 of them, we stop playing because you're just having a bad day and it's kind of not fair.
Yeah, I could probably do the 50 games if the room was closed with just a window and a hose running to the gas pipe of a running car. I could probably do that. Yeah.
I thought about maybe you could try this with your dad, Deb. I thought about maybe because there are a couple of family games that we play at my house. We play like Rummy Cube and stuff like that. And
yeah,
I thought about having a penalty for the loser. Of how we'll agree on a certain amount of rounds, and then there's a penalty for the loser.
Right.
Like you have to wear a strap on for the rest of the day or something like that. But of course, we wouldn't do that. The house,
if they're going to school.
Maybe you get your dad to do it.
Right.
No, but I thought about that for us here on the show.
Oh.
If we had some type of a competition amongst us,
okay.
The loser has to agree the next day to do something the entire day.
I'd like to see Kathy at Floral and Hardy with a strap on.
Or just at work. Something here where we wouldn't, you know, get in a lot of trouble. But think of a penalty. All right.
Myth, you're going to have to leave with that.
I'll I'll keep that in mind. I'll pass it along to my dad. And like I said, since he does lose often, he lives kind of around the corner from you, Preston. So maybe whatever I make him do, we'll just walk
yeah.
down the block there.
Have him walk around the neighborhood with a strap on him.
Yeah.
I'll have him pull it.
You'll know, hey, I know you. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Deb.
Hold a Uno card. All right. Take care, guys. Thanks.
See you later.
Did you ever play a card game? It looks like Uno. It's called Skip-O.
Yes.
Okay.
We played all versions of Uno. We had Uno Attack. We had Spin Uno. Skip-O.
So we had Skip-O in college, but we never actually used it for what it was actually supposed to be used for.
Did it become a drinking game?
It was a drinking game, and we played. You've played high-low with a regular deck of cards.
Sure.
Well, we played high-low with Skip-O.
Okay.
And oh my God, it was like instant.
What
like,
is the difference between Uno and Skip-O?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. I don't remember.
I never played the legit rules.
It had to do with skipping turns. Okay. Or something. Yeah, right. It was a big part of it. But
it's like the same card company, right? Like
is it Milton Bradley?
No.
It says from the makers of Uno.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes.
Whammo.
Yeah. I'm not sure. All right, let me go to some other calls here. I will go, and mainly people want to talk about what they do in Uno as far as customizing the game. I'm going to go to Dan. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, bud, what's up with you, man?
Okay, so if you have two cards left in Uno, technically you're supposed to say Uno. If you do not, and someone calls you on it, you have to pick up four cards. So okay. I always stack my cards in my hand so other people can't see how many cards I have left, and I guess... My question is that cheating or not cheating?
But wait a minute. Is there any penalty for them calling you out?
Yeah, I think you have to pick up four cards. If you don't call Uno when you have Uno.
No. But
no, the other way around. If somebody says, wait a minute, you got one card. I'm calling you out because you didn't say Uno. Is there any penalty for them because you actually had two cards?
That is a good question.
Then it has nothing to do with the gameplay. It's just having some fun. So I think you're
okay. That's not cheating. You're good.
Yeah, you're good, man.
You're cheating.
Okay. You get a pass. All right, appreciate it. Let me go to Patrick. Hey, Patrick, good morning.
Hey, what's up? You guys rock.
Thanks, Bob. All right, customizing your game. What do you do?
So basically whenever I play Uno, what he said just a little while ago, me and a bunch of my buddies, we do call each other out if they don't call Uno. But what happens is if you call them out, like, if you stack your cards and they actually have more than one,
yep,
you actually have to pick up four.
Okay.
So it actually backfires on you, so it's basically a gamble.
Okay.
All right.
Now, also, I do play stacks, like pick up two, pick up four, reverses, even skips.
Okay. All right. And
that's
then
so complicated.
And then it says Monopoly. You have a customization.
Yeah. So Monopoly.
Oh, we lost damn it, him. I just hung up.
I can tell you what it was.
He said if you roll doubles, you get $1,000.
No, snake eyes only.
Snake eyes only. We used to, if you rolled three doubles in a row, you had to go to jail.
I think that's an actual rule.
Is
that a rule?
Yeah. And then the only way to get out of jail is by rolling doubles or getting the get-out-of-jail-free card.
Or now you can pay.
Yeah, $50, right?
Yeah, you can pay to get out.
Do you think that these rules, they're almost like a virus. So the game comes out. And then somebody starts playing it a certain way, and then it spreads out. So these faux rules start to spread. And I wonder how surprised you would be with games that you routinely play, what the real rules say you can and cannot do.
Yeah, because you've played the rules that somebody showed you how to play.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. But you're right. The rules like that over time have spread.
Yes.
And people pick up on them.
One where they don't change, for the most part, is in gambling games where money's involved, correct? I mean, when was the last time there was a major shift in blackjack?
No,
it doesn't happen, right?
It can be different in some places depending on what casino you're in. Because
really?
I played. I was on a cruise ship one time, and Casey, the push went to the dealer.
Yes. So when we were in London, I played blackjack, and
they
I
got had my accents.
Well, that.
Yeah.
And then also, so push goes to the dealer. Also. The deal. So in London, the dealer only got one card, right? And then everybody played their hands, and so I got a blackjack, right? And then the dealer. So normally, when you get a blackjack in the United States, Jack,
you win.
You win. You get your money automatically.
Yep.
You had to wait in London to see what the dealer got, and then when the dealer ended up getting 21, I didn't win my blackjack money.
Yeah. Okay.
But 21 with multiple cards. I mean, with two cards, not with multiple cards, right?
I don't remember. I want to say with just two cards, but I don't know if there was a
with three cards. I think I think it was with
as the dealing process goes. The second you get a blackjack. You win.
Yeah, they even say it. They'll just go blackjack winner, and they're still dealing other cards. You win automatically.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. But can you buy? Is it at that point you buy insurance if you want to because you haven't seen the dealer's hand? You can
in London.
No, here.
No. You get blackjack. You win no matter
what. What insurance did you get? Like fire and theft, or what do you get?
No, you just pay half of whatever your bet is.
Oh, okay.
Hated buying.
I forgot. I never did insurance. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
That's when they would show a face up if they'd want to buy insurance. That's what it was. Anyway, Uno says you can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't stack the plus two. But listen, play however you want to play.
This is really troubling for me because it's a game that I never play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you're never going to play again.
Yeah.
That's another topic. Triple stamp a double stamp. We just started watching that movie.
Oh, you did?
Jace watched both of them.
Don't get Casey started.
Loves it.
Yes, I love him.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. And we have comedian, actor, and director Steve Byrne on the show. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, November 16th at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. You heard correctly. The event is a little earlier than usual. This difficult year has made it even harder for area families staring food insecurity right in its face, which makes the Camp Out Business Challenge more important than ever. Props to Subaru of America for leading the way, challenging other area companies to get involved. It's effective team building for your staff as they rally together to help fill abundance in their mission to drive hunger from our communities today and end hunger for good. For those who go the extra mile, there are prizes for the top three business challenge donations, including Preston and Steve broadcasting live from your place and for your staff. Go to WMMR.com for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger from 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Let's get right to it. Our next guest, we love having him on anytime, and his dream has come true. He has made a film about what he loves. It is stand-up comedy, and we just got to get him on right now. Ladies and gentlemen, writer and director of the film, The Opening Act, it is Steve Byrne.
Yay! Hey, guys.
Hi, Steve. How you doing, man?
Doing well. I was just watching the news. I hate to bring this up. I was just watching the news.
Shut up.
I saw Joe Biden. They asked Joe Biden. They said, Joe, what do you think of Kenosha? He said, how dare you? Her name is Kamala.
Oh, God. Okay. God, Steve, I was so worried that it was going to be a Steelers-Eagles joke. I apologize for jumping on you there. I'm just a little sensitive.
I'm a guest in your house.
That's right. And you respect that. That's awesome. How about you, though, Steve? I mean, I was reading the reviews. Rotten Tomatoes, 83% for the opening act. All The reviews are solid. This is something you've been talking to us about for a couple of years. I think, 2018 it got underway?
Yeah, we filmed in 2018, edited in 2019, and then the crap hit the fan in 2020. So now we're coming out streaming VOD.
You know what, though? In a way, I think people are so rabid for new content, and they see something like this pop up. There's been a few things that have flirted with the notion of stand-up comedy, in movies, but they never quite get it right, or they get it like the movie Punchline, which didn't quite work, and some other things. Either the Apatow series was had its moments, but I think what, correct me if I'm wrong, you really wanted to capture the embryonic stages of someone's career, right? And what you go through, because I did stand up for a while. Of course, I'm just a piker compared to what, you know, your career and other careers, but there is something unique about it, and the critical reviews are saying they've never seen the roller coaster aspect of those early days of taking the stage and trying to perfect a stand-up career captured as well as it is in your movie.
Yeah, I think that was the goal. The goal for me was to write the best film that's ever been done about stand-up, especially the beginning. And every comic has had that last job. So I thought that's where you want to see it from, because then you get exposed to it. So it was seeing this kid go all in, leave his job, take the opportunity to take his first time ever at a professional comedy club. So you're dealing with hecklers, bachelorette parties, pleasing the manager, even doing, yes, morning radio for the very first time, which is a very distinct muscle that you've got to work at. And everything that's happened in the film has happened to me in real life. So I did get kicked off morning radio the first time I did it. And
And yeah, I'm really excited for this to come out. I'm really excited to see what you guys think of that particular scene. It's very impactful.
Okay.
And has consequences throughout the course of the film.
Okay, then definitely I want to see that part. And I love, you know, you got some big names, Bill Burr and Cedric the Entertainer and Ken Jeong and so on. But I'm really happy you got Jimmy O. Yang. He's great. We've had him here in the studio before. I love his work. And is he kind of is this a composite character? Is this you? Is this who's he kind of playing in the show?
Yeah,
or in the movie?
Semi-autobiographical. I happen to be an Asian American writer director.
What?
Let's happen to cast an Asian in this film. But I never did it for the sake of, like, I'm doing this for diversity. And it's like, the hell with all that. It just happens to be what it is. I'm not force feeding anybody. And I simply just cast my friends in all this film. So when when I was thinking, hey, I need a skanky looking cop in this film. Hey, Tom Segura.
Perfect. Perfect. You know what I wanted to ask you, and I know our time is you're on a tour. This is one of the rare times we've had you on a tour for something. But the thing I think is always the essential issue with movies where they do feature stand-up and they try to have stand-up depicted or a television show or whatever is the level of comedy that the comedian is expressing on stage when they're first getting started. How did you properly make sure that from the gate, who Jimmy O. Yang is an accomplished comedian, that he wasn't killing, you know, and the material wasn't so super sharp? How did you basically amateur it up?
Well, to amateur it up, I said, Jimmy, just do your material.
Wow. Sick. Wow, no. that is hard.
What we did was I told Jimmy, I said, let's go back to the beginning of your career and go through those old notebooks and find the jokes that didn't work, and let's do those jokes. And I never coached the audiences. I always just said, guys, just go up and do your stand-up. Let's get natural reaction from the audience. The only stand-up I wrote in the film is Jimmy's very last set, when he has to really kind of shine and hopefully do well. That was the only time I gave the audience I prefaced what the scene was about, and then I let Jimmy just do the material. And lo and behold, once again, Jimmy O. Yang, total pro, did those jokes for the very first time and executed them flawlessly, because if that last scene doesn't work, the whole film doesn't work, and he nailed it. I got to tell you, he nailed it.
So was Cedric doing a lot of his own material when he's on the stage?
Yeah, and I think Cedric was winging it, which kind of made me angry, because I'm like, he's just improvising bits that I would write down and be like, that could be my closer. So, wow.
Did you think, a lot of people just kind of dismiss Cedric the Entertainer and just think of him as sort of like a gimmick, or I don't know what they perceive him as, but the guy is naturally really funny.
Oh my God! I didn't know what we would get. I wanted somebody who looked like an established headliner, and we got it in aces with this. And I'm telling you, he nails this film. He's got so many gears. He shifts between. There's definitely a character arc for Cedric's character in this, and he starts off kind of as a curmudgeon-y, and you got to warm up to him, like most headliners on the road. They've heard it all. How did you get started? Okay, kid, I'm here to do my job, and that's how Cedric's character comes off, and slowly Jimmy's character wears on him, and a nice friendship develops there.
Yeah.
And Cedric just nails it. But I got to tell you, Alex Moffat from SNL steals this movie. He's so damn good in this.
He's great.
Yeah.
Nice. Fantastic.
And the thing is, all my friends are in it, and they're all brutally honest. Everybody from Neil to Segura to Burr, they all call or text me after they watch their screener, and they say the same thing. I loved it. It was authentic. And you just brought up all these horrible memories I thought I had forgotten, so I have to see my therapist this Monday, you bastard. So.
Mission accomplished.
Hey, I have to ask this on behalf of my daughter. She's a huge 21 Pilots fan. Debbie Ryan's in the movie. She's married to Josh Dunn of 21 Pilots. Did he ever come out for any of the filming?
He did come by set for a day and couldn't be nicer. And cool. you see the epitome of what every comic wants to be. Every comic wants to be a rock star. And this guy comes on set, he's shredded, he's good looking, he's engaged to Debbie Ryan, he makes me want to sue my parents, and that's the distinction between rock and roll and comedy. If we were in a rock band, we'd be the keyboard player. Yeah, we're cool, but we're kind of not cool.
Yeah,
I gotcha, I know what you mean.
Well, then I have to ask, Candace Cameron Bure is in the film as well, yes?
She is not, but I would give everything for her to be in it. I love her.
She's listed in the credits. I was blown away by that news that she's not in it then.
That's amazing that Candace Cameron Bure is listed in the film. I wrote and directed it. I'm not even in it, and she's in it.
How does that happen?
Well, it, perhaps in the second film, in the follow-up, if you can make her a lead, I'd appreciate it.
That's right. Yeah. I always something to strive for. There's always a goal.
Hey, so Steve, since this is your baby, and, you know, obviously things are different with video on demand and so forth, there's no big premiere or anything like that. Have you done a virtual premiere of sorts with the people involved or anything like that?
No, I think what I'm going to end up doing is going out with a bunch of guys. I'm going to go out with Vince and Peter Billingsley and Bill Burr and some other friends from the film. We're actually going to screen it at the Comedy Store in the parking lot just for the cast and some other comics. So we're going to do that. I'm pretty excited to just hang with human beings as opposed to my kids. I've been with them for way too long.
Yep.
You know, it's funny. Before the pandemic hit, I hit the road. And my daughter is at the age now where she understands daddy's leaving, and she was getting emotional and crying at the bay window as I'm pulling out and crying. And every fiber, I want to run in and go, I'm not going. I'm going to stay home. But I had to keep the lights on, so I go to work. And then I come home. Pandemic hits. We're quarantined. I'm with my daughter. I'm with my son. I'm with my wife. It's great. 6 months in, I'm like, what water fountain did you chuck a quarter into and wish that daddy would stay home? Because you caused a global pandemic, food shortages, recession, racial tension. It's all my daughter's fault, guys.
She did it all. Well, I just have to ask you quickly, because you have this movie that highlights the struggle of getting into this lifestyle, of this occupation, and then everything goes into stasis. I think people can see this, and when everything resumes, and it's starting to resume, and stand-up shows are starting to take place, maybe give the audience a better appreciation of what exactly goes into being a successful stand-up.
Yeah, I mean, look, you pretty much nailed the whole film. I think, look, everybody's been to a comedy club, but you've never been on the road.
Right.
That's what this film's truly about. People are going to be shocked at the amount of failure the comics endure. It's a marathon, and Jimmy O. Yang gets his teeth kicked in repeatedly over the course of 4 days in this film. And that's the thing I was really, really happy that it really gelled with the audiences. That's
all right, awesome. Well, it's in theaters on demand tomorrow. And by the way, I'm glad it's a movie. I got enough shows. I want a movie, and I'm happy that you did a movie, Steve.
I'm tired of watching TV because I watched a report on Fox News about coronavirus, and I learned this. I don't know if you guys know this, but a baby bat is called a pup, while an old bat is called Nancy Pelosi.
I didn't know that.
Wow. And that was Fox News
had
that?
I live in Philadelphia, and I got to tell you, shout out to my guy, CJ Colando. He was one of the guys that worked really hard on the film, and he's from Philly.
So nice.
That's awesome. Congratulations,
Represent.
Man.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Steve, we love you. We'll see you someday in person soon, all right?
You got it. Take care, guys.
All right. See you. Steve Berg,
yay!
Guys. Movie is called The Opening Act. I do want to see this. I like everybody that's listed on there. It looks cool.
It's awesome. Funny because the Apatow series, Case, I'm having a brain fart. What's the name?
Crashing?
Crashing, yeah. So I watched that, and it does, you know, get a lot right. But tonally, I think this part of what he's focusing in on, and judging by the trailer, I remember when I first, you know, should I do it? Should I do it? Should I try it?
Right.
And, you know, when I shifted, and then it's that stepping off. It's like in the third Indiana Jones film. You know, you're stepping out, and are you going to be able to do it?
Yep.
And it is, it's wild. So, yeah, I'm glad he did this. And it's obviously a project of intense passion for him.
I realized something during that interview, which is completely has nothing to do with us. We're talking to Steve. So the chair that I sit in, so my feet are up off the ground. It's a high sitting chair. And so I crossed my feet together.
Yeah.
And my left ankle on the outside touched my leg. And I'd forgotten about it until this moment. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, I got up to use the bathroom, and I was on the way back in to go back to Slumberland.
Yeah.
And I banged my ankle on the corner of the bed, excruciatingly painful.
Were you going to throw up?
I hit, and it wasn't quite, okay. It was as bad as when we were in Ireland,
right,
and I fell
yeah.
down the stairs. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't pass out worthy, but I'm laying there, I'm grabbing my ankle, I'm like, and I'm trying to convince myself that it doesn't hurt.
Right.
Okay, so I'm sitting there going, okay, it's going to pass, it's going to pass. It's, you know, you got this, breathe in, breathe out.
I got it.
And then after a while, I'm like, okay, it's not passing. It's not going to pass. This is going to hurt forever. I mean, it went on for a long time, and I didn't even realize it until just now when I banged my ankle. God, that hurt. What a delight.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up. I told you about the time, and it was just fairly recently, where I woke up with a. I was dreaming that I was doing something, and I extended my leg in the real world outside of the Matrix, and I got a Charlie horse, and I started to get up out of bed, and I fell on my face on the floor. It was so I couldn't stand. It was so painful.
No.
Yes, and it was like I'm like an idiot on the hardwood floor.
I remember getting a middle of the night Charlie horse when I was a kid. And not knowing what to do.
Yes.
Because
what do? You just have to write it out.
And you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I know now that you have to get up and put your toes down and lean forward like this. Yeah, so
I wish I'd have known that.
That alleviates the cramp, you know, because your foot is extended, pointing. And I'm like, what is that? Why are you doing this? But now I know you get up out of bed and you step back like that. And
I was too busy being on my face.
And it relieves it, but God, that's pain, man.
It's unbelievable.
That Charlie horse. Ugh. The worst.
See, I've hit my toe in the middle of the night, you know, walking to the bathroom. To me, stubbing your toe on a piece of furniture.
Oh, that's the kind of pain that makes you bite your tongue and cause a second injury.
Yeah.
Where you swing at something and hit the wall and break a hand.
Yes.
Right? Because it's a goddamn it. And you're just flailing. Yeah.
Everything. So.
Horrible.
All right. Well,
let's move to something a little bit more pleasant. It's, obviously... Leaves are turning. It's really pretty out right now.
It is. I was going to go to Hawk Mountain, on Monday,
dude,
but it
rained.
Raining horrible.
That sucks. It's been so nice so much of the time this
and
fall.
The one day
and then
I had off.
The weekend where we have a bunch of days off in a row, it rained like 3 days
all
in
right,
a row.
Can I observe something before you go into
thing?
All right. So instead, my wife and I go to Lynn Villa.
Oh, love it there. Haven't been there in a long
we
time.
We made a critical, I was telling Kathy about this yesterday, a critical and crucial mistake. We went hungry.
Oh. Yeah.
And
you
mean two words.
Uh-huh.
Pulled bread. They have pulled bread. What cheddar. Yes. What is pulled bread?
What is pulled bread?
It's in little segments?
Well, it's loaves of bread and one is cheddar bread. And you put it in the oven and you just tear it off.
Yeah, yeah.
You so just tear it like monkey bread.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of
and it's and there's like
squares.
Garlic,
different kinds,
cheddar, all this stuff. I'm like, Jesus Christ! I mean, like a couple of $100 worth of bread, and the of course the apple cider donuts, and all of
dude,
that.
They have this thing.
It's so epic. I mean, I'm like, I'm disgusting.
Potato thing that they have. It peels the potato into, like, it's just one giant potato chip that sits on a plate that they cover with cheese.
By the way, here are I have the list of the pull-apart breads. Vegetable, garlic butter, tomato basil, marinara sauce and cheese, cheddar cheese, and jalapeno.
We got just about every one of those.
This one looks like it has pepperoni in it.
Yeah, you skipped over that one.
Did I? Oh, yes, pepperoni, marinara, and cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks evil in a very good way.
I mean, it was insane. And we got home, and we look, you know when they have like a blood orgy in a vampire movie?
Mm-hmm.
That's like...
Smothering it all over.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, dude. Yeah, listen, I try never to go to the grocery store hungry.
Yeah.
I learned that a long time ago. Same thing for something like that.
Yeah.
You
know?
Right. You can't go hungry.
Yeah,
like
a
farmer's
market.
You just end up buying
everything
you don't need.
Kathy, a break in the weather. And it was like, okay, so we can't do,
Hawk Mountain.
The mountain. So, okay, we go over there. And it's beautiful. It's set up. They have the pumpkins and they have the little village thing and whatever. They had all everything was ready. There was like nobody there.
Yeah.
So we're like, let's dart in. And then I was a descent into hell.
Mm. Okay, so you buy the pool apart bread there, it's refrigerated, and then you bring it home and you cook it at home?
It wasn't even refrigerated. It's like it's freshly made, and then you go home, and then you put it in the oven for a few minutes.
I'm just thinking of, like, game day treats.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I bet you could we could freeze that, maybe.
You know, for the big game?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the big game. All right, well, anyway, going
sorry
to
about that diversion.
No. Yeah, it's a yummy diversion. Yeah. That should be an album name. Yummy
Diversion.
All right, anyway.
We are Yummy Diversion.
So with these fall activities like that, actually, which is, going to
fall activities.
Farmers markets and whatnot, as the trees begin to drop their leaves, they release lots of different smells. And the drop in air temperatures and humidity. We have a piece of autumn music. Well, this works, too.
This is nice.
This is kind of springy, but it's
pretty.
I do like it. I'm going to get to the gas in a moment. Right. But temperatures and humidity also let those natural scents have a moment to shine. Most trees to North America only give off a hint of scent when dropping their leaves. But one in particular makes the air smell particularly sweet. It is native to Japan. It is called the Katsura tree.
It's a very pretty smell.
The leaves release a special compound called maltrol.
Maltrol.
That gives the air a cotton candy-like aroma.
Is maltrol Gryffindor or...
It's a Slytherin. No, the Katsura tree will also release this scent when it distresses, a sign that they may need a bit more water. For example, other plants that undergo a similar process smell more like dead animals than bakeries when dying. But to try and catch the scent, we're getting a real crescendo in the music here.
I love being out here!
To try and catch a scent of the Katsura, experts say you should try taking a walk through your local botanical garden.
There's no Katsura in the area that's just naturally growing, correct?
I don't know. Tony Aiello, who is the curator of the horticulture at the Morris Arboretum here in Philadelphia.
It's right near me.
Says people say the tree smells like autumn.
Oh.
And I think there's a reason for that. But I do know what they mean by... Whatever that smell is in the
air. It's really nice.
It's excellent.
I love the smells associated with autumn. I mean, they're all fleeting, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yes, I do. To me, that it's a warm, enveloping smell.
I love the Morris Arboretum. I can't even say it, how much I love it.
I'm getting a little emotional.
Morris Arboretum. But I went to a wedding there a few years ago, and man, was it fun. They have like these tree houses where you can walk through. And it was a really nice place to have a wedding. I don't know how much it costs, and I don't even know if you can do it now.
We bought the membership, which is we haven't really taken advantage of. But
it's so dumb not to. If you go twice, I think your membership is paid for.
Right, right.
I've never been. So is it like Longwood Gardens, you have to pay to get into it?
A more concise version of Longwood Gardens. It's not as sprawling, but they have a lot of things. And what they have there, like Nick said, the tree areas, the areas that are suspended up in the trees. They also have what I think is the coolest train.
Yeah.
It's an outdoor train setup with the village and different things going on. And for the holidays, they light it up, and it's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Excellent. So anyhow, if you smell, if you have that association with a scent of autumn, it might be the Katsura tree. Now,
since
you played that, I got an email, and this was from Charles Proto.
My name is Charles Proto.
He said, "Hey, Preston, love listening to you guys. I've heard farts being discussed on your show."
Really?
No. And too many times I've heard you guys talking about the marvel of people liking the smell of their own brand. Well, I've written to you to shed some light on this subject. One day I was sitting in my car with the windows up, and I fart. It's a real bad one. Of course, it doesn't bother me. It's mine.
Do we have music, Case?
Okay. Oh, yeah, you want me to get, storytelling music of some type? Okay. So it's a real bad one.
Yeah.
And, of course, it doesn't bother me because it's mine. Well, the guy I work with jumps in the car, shuts the door, and I'm staring at him the whole time. And he is looking straight ahead, and he's trying not to smirk and not doing a good job of it. So I ask him what he is laughing at, and he says, "I farted," and he asked how I liked it. So apparently he must have just farted as he was getting in, and he thought that, Charles here was smelling it.
So there were two separate...
Yeah, so he said, "I replied to him that it was me," and he goes, "Really?" And he goes, "Wow, come to think of it, it's mine that I haven't been smelling." And he almost threw up and rolled down the window and was hanging out the window choking. We were moving by then, he said, and it wasn't an act. He said, "I didn't even laugh. I was amazed that as bad as it smelled, and trust me, it was bad, when he thought that he did it, he actually liked it. But when he found out that it wasn't his..."
So the case for the psychological element of it is strong.
Yes. Science. That it may just be that since it freshly came from his ass, and it wasn't really his, he thought that it smelled good. But when he found out that it was Charles...
I think the part of it has to go with the knowledge that you are inhaling
small particles of someone else's ass. And that's really what that is about, right? That
sure
is. That is what is generating the smell.
It's
the particulate matter and the methane and all of that.
It's the methane, yeah. But I mean, pieces of poop coming out.
There's
got to
be something
like
other than just straight up methane.
I think that
it's the filter that it's coming through. Right? Like a coffee filter. Ass filter.
You can look it up.
What is
human gas made of?
What is fart, Alex?
What is fart?
By the way, there was a singular Final Jeopardy guy the other night.
Yeah. He won again last night. He's a 5-time champion.
Yes. I got that one right last night.
Stanley.
Yeah, that was an easy one. Yeah. But I missed the night before, but I just read about the fact that there was a singular.
You know what?
Never happened.
One of the ladies ended up in the negative, but a guy had a chance. It was a daily double on the last clue.
And he blew it.
And he got it wrong, but he bet it all.
Did you guys know that if you end up in the negative at the end of Jeopardy, you actually have to pick up trash on the side of the road?
Wow. I didn't know that. Yeah, you know, what killed me about it is, you had the one guy, and he didn't. He should have bet everything but a dollar, right?
I mean, yeah, but if he lost, he would have only won a dollar.
Yeah, you only get what you have.
But still
left
go
in
for
bank.
It, right?
There's no there's no shot of you.
But if he
not
lost, if
coming
he got
back
it wrong,
the next day.
If he got it wrong, he wouldn't have made as much money. So he decided to bet a conservative amount, still right. Win.
I figured just go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. I think also on Jeopardy, I know I'm supposed to be looking up farts, but
I'll look it up. You guys go ahead.
On Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune right now, they only have local contestants. It's
they
people,
do.
In and around LA.
They've actually taken from San Bernardino, originally from Kansas.
Yeah, there was one guy on Wheel of Fortune last night who lives in Culver City, which is where they film Wheel of Fortune, but people aren't able to fly to get to these locations at this point.
So you've been watching Wheel of Fortune as well.
Yes, I have as well.
I have noticed that I have gotten worse at that game. I used to be pretty damn good at it, and now I look at it and I'm like, I can't.
Well,
they have
different versions of it too now, where they, instead of just it being, you know, let's say a phrase, it's as general a thing as you could possibly have, but now they'll do crossword things, which are a little bit more elaborate.
I also feel like for the television viewing audience, they need to have a bank
strippers.
Two things: strippers, but also they need a bank of the letters that have been selected already.
Yeah, they have that for the contestants.
Yes,
they should have that for the home viewers.
I agree. Yeah, there was a guy last night on Wheel of Fortune who he guessed O and then A, and you were supposed to guess a letter. It was like at the very last spin, and he screwed up twice. And you know, you sit there and you yell at the television because he's messing up, but then I remember what it's like even being on the classroom. Like, it's hard when you're on TV and you're sitting
the pressure's
right there.
On.
The pressure's on, yeah.
When the one lady years ago guessed Dick of Sticks, I was like, it was Pick of Sticks.
Yeah.
Dick of Sticks. Like, what?
I saw E blank blank S Benedict, and the person couldn't get that it was Eggs Benedict. I was yelling at the television.
I mean,
come on!
What was the one where the guy, it was like a drug reference, and then Sajak had to say,
oh, it was a group of pill pushers. And it was supposed to be a group of well wishers. And then he goes, Jesus. When he got it wrong, he said like three things where Pat was like, dude, it's Wheel of Fortune. Come on here, man.
Pill pushers.
What is DVDA?
Delaware Valley Dance Academy. I have the breakdown of the consumption of what comes out of your butt, if you guys want.
Okay.
I like to consume butts.
Human, but strangely enough, fart gas is mostly what is in the atmosphere. Nitrogen, oxygen, and carbon dioxide. Hydrogen is also present. In addition, some people make methane in their intestines.
I do.
Oxygen is used up while methane, carbon dioxide, and hydrogen are produced. The culprits who do this are likely pesky intestinal bacteria, which get a symbiotic free ride in your guts.
Ooh.
It is interesting to note that eating a fiber-free diet reduces the amount of fart gas produced. Leaving out the fiber greatly lowers the amount of carbon dioxide in farts. It also reduces the amount of hydrogen to a tiny little squeak. This result is in comparison with the amount, thank you, and composition of fart gas produced, blah, 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 blah. All right, this is interesting. Women will be reassured. It says here, fart gas in men and women, night and day.
Hmm.
Women will be reassured to know that they are equal to men in the production of fart gas.
Ah.
So Kathy's ripping them all the time, just like Casey.
Finally breaking through that glass ceiling.
I've tuned out.
Both produce an average of approximately 700 milliliters a day. Here's an important research conclusion made in a controlled study using data analysis and carefully collected samples. People tend to fart more after meals. People fart more during the day than at night, though the gas production does continue while you sleep.
Of course it does.
It's probably a good thing that people fart less when they sleep. Just imagine how bad it would be if they farted more in their repose. Surely it would be grounds for divorce, it goes on to say. What makes it smell? Less than 2% of the gas is responsible for the notable odor. Most, but not all, of the smelly culprits are sulfur-bearing gases like the rotten egg smell of hydrogen sulfide. Also, those are the good ones.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
I mean, it's the purest.
Also present are fellow sulfurous stinker gases, methyl ethiol, and dimethyl sulfide. These gases take up only a few milliliters of every fart, which should give you an idea of just how potent they are in terms of whatever that word is.
Malodorosisness.
Malodorosisness.
Oh.
All right. So anyhow, I don't know if that shed any light. But you know what? The sulfur smell when being at Yellowstone.
Yes.
Which your wife was there. Did she tell you about the smells at all?
It
depends on where you are. But there are strong sulfur smells.
Around the sulfur springs, yes. You're going to get that.
And some of it smells like egg farts.
Yeah.
And it's pretty nasty. But it's nature.
And that's a huge... The caldera there is it's a huge volcano.
Yeah, it's massive.
Yeah.
So you do get those scents out in nature.
And so our butts are tiny volcanoes.
But they're itty-bitty little volcanoes. Let's bring Kathy back in.
This ties into
fall and everything. All but right. Due to the pandemic, Walmart is launching a Black Friday Deals for Days event.
Ooh.
Offering customers multiple ways to save during 3 November sales. So there's going to be 3 different ones, Kathy. The first sale goes from Wednesday, November 3rd through Saturday, November 7th.
Are they calling it a Black Friday sale?
Online deals at 7 p.m. They're calling it Black Friday Deals for Days.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
So now Black Friday is the beginning of November.
Eastern time, blah, blah, blah. All right, so in-store deals begin at 5 a.m. Local time on November 7th. The second set of sales runs from Wednesday, November 11th through Saturday, November 14th. Similar to the first sale, the online sales start at 7 p.m. Eastern time on the 11th and midnight Eastern time on the 14th. And the in-store deals start at 5 a.m. local time. I'm never going to be able to keep track of this.
No, it's ridiculous. In fact, unless you're really looking for something, like my wife is looking for a few things, and we buy stuff for Toys for Tots. And so she bought a whole bunch of stuff off of the Amazon, the sale yesterday. But I use Amazon quite a lot. I've used recently the Walmart. It's not bad.
Yeah. Oh, no. There's
not Amazon level, but it's not bad.
It's not bad. However, I will say the returning is not as easy as Amazon.
I mean,
it's
Amazon
actually
is
a pain, and there's a fee for some
really?
Things. Yeah. It's really annoying. But that's sort of how I've done my Black Friday shopping for the past couple of years, because there are deals all of the time. So I'm shopping specifically looking for something. Like, you're not browsing the deals. Like,
right.
If I'm looking for, you know, whatever, I don't know, a gaming system or whatever, and they have some sort of deal, great, I'll keep my eye on that, and then I'll buy it if there's a deal.
But Amazon does present on their page for what's going on right now. There is a whole bunch of pages of stuff that they're suggesting.
Yeah.
So the third event will take place Thanksgiving weekend.
Ooh.
And that begins online on Wednesday, November 25th. So it's
not even Black
Friday.
It's not
Black Friday. and then on November 27th, or Black Friday, as you say, new deals will be added in store at 5 a.m. local time and online at midnight Eastern time.
And that's not even taking into account Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
Which is what all of this has been leading up to in any way.
When is that?
It's the Monday after Black Friday.
Yeah, it's the Monday after. But, I mean, there's...
It's a different year.
It's a different
year. Obviously, shopping in person is less of a thing.
You'll find some sort of deal throughout. I mean, I guess starting in the beginning of November now, but up until Christmas.
Hmm. So my wife went to, she's been to the KOP, and it's up and running.
I mean,
there's and obviously if you can support brick and mortar and they're there to be visited, by all means do it.
It's just different.
Yeah,
like,
it is different.
You know, like I was saying before, a couple of places you have to wait in line if there's, too many people in. A lot of places, which I was surprised, but they closed their dressing room, so you can't try anything on in some places.
Right.
Not all of the places. Just some. But I had a question, and I know we talked about this before. Bed Bath & Beyond, are they completely going out of business, or are they just closing a lot of stores? Does anyone know?
I don't remember. I think they're closing just they closed a number of stores.
I think you're right, Steve. I think
Marissa might know. She just grabbed her microphone.
I think we would have been wigging out if Bed Bath & Beyond was going out altogether.
I don't know that, but Kathy, have you noticed that Bed Bath & Beyond is kind of turning into Home Goods?
Well, I think that didn't do well for them. I think that was their way to try to save the company. And now those stores, the ones like Marissa's talking about, they focused more on furniture.
I love Bed Bath & Beyond.
They're closing.
Okay, 63 stores are going to close by the end of the year.
Yeah,
okay.
There's one over in, was Ardmore? I forget the
name. Wynwood.
Yeah,
over here, yeah.
Yeah,
The one in the Metroplex is closing. That's why I asked. I went in, and the shelves are kind of bare now, and they're having big sales to, I guess, empty out the store.
And the one in Wayne became a Home Sense.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Okay.
I love Home Sense.
Is Home Sense the same store owner as Home Goods?
Home Goods, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, it is?
There's two in the same shopping center. There's a Home Goods up above next to the Gennardi's, and then a Home Sense down below.
All right, well, what's Home Sense?
I don't really get it because they're doing that in a lot of spots. They're taking over space where Home Goods exists, and next door or right around the corner or upstairs from it, they're putting a Home Sense.
I mean, you can walk from one to the other, and they seem very similar to me, but I am a novice shopper, so I can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Kath, I wanted to ask you, because you'd mentioned, we were talking about returns. Steve, you mentioned King of Prussia. There's a Dyson store at the King of Prussia Mall.
There was one outside of the mall. It's no longer there.
All right, because my wife is telling me that if you have a Dyson, that you can bring it to that store, and they will fix it,
for free?
For free.
Well, ours wasn't for free. We did have to pay, but you don't have to, at least when I went, you didn't have to buy
it off.
Yeah, well, you didn't have to buy a whole new one that costs $300 or whatever it is. They fixed it for a very decent price.
Dyson stuff always runs well. It does exactly what you want it to do. It's always crazy expensive, and it's always pompously. For example, my Dyson fan is not a fan. It's a air multiplier.
I have become a Shark fan.
Oh, Shark is really good.
Those are really... We're talking about vacuum
cleaners. What happened to us? We were just talking about farts.
Oh, I love it. God. Let's stick with this.
We were just being manly men talking about farts, and now we're talking about...
I love it.
Portable vacuum cleaners.
Shopping in vacuums. Casey, you're right. I have seen this store, and yes, it is newer. It's not inside the mall. It's on Allendale Road, which is kind of the end of the mall.
Oh, yeah.
I know where that is. That's next to Peter North's House of Splooge.
Okay. Stop it. No!
Yeah, there you go. We got manly now.
My wand for my Dyson snapped, and I need to get it fixed.
Yeah, Case, it's a service center.
Okay.
Oh. So you can definitely take it there.
Okay. All right, well, anyhow, that's kind of an update on
Tell me what you love about the Shark, though.
On Black Friday. Dude, have you used them?
Yes, I have used Shark, but I prefer Dyson. However,
I've owned a few Dyson, so
I used Shark back in the day, so I feel like I don't know the updated Sharks.
We'll talk about this another time. We got to take a rundown.
Coming back with more vacuum talk.
Yeah. Let's go pee on some stuff, guys. Let's go pee on some stuff.
Yeah, we got to do that. Right. No, but by the way, so Walmart, to sum it up, Walmart is going to be doing a it's called the Black Friday Deals for Days.
Yeah.
It's pretty much all of the month of November.
That last time I was at Walmart, guess what I bought?
Oh, a Shark.
A Dyson.
Ah.
Yeah. Dude, we're like, it's like the Dysons and the Sharks.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Jets and the Sharks.
You don't use Dyson.
West Side Story.
Such power. That's all. Yeah, unbelievable.
All right.
Wait, I'm sorry. Okay. Real quick. Somebody sends an email. Says Bed Bath & Beyond will close 200 stores by the end of 2021.
Oh.
The business is shifting to a lot of .com.
Okay.
I'll vacuum cat hair tonight.
I feel pretty, so cleanly. We need to take a break, clearly, so we'll come. You know, look over there. I got Crash Bandicoot to give away. Digital copy.
That's
for
a
PS4.
Man in the game.
It is Crash Bandicoot 4, caller number 19 at 215-263-WMMR. It's about time for a brand whomping new adventure. Is everyone's favorite marsupial is back. Crash forward in a time-shattered adventure complete with massive worlds, new powers, and more insanity. You can own it now on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. It's caller number 19. You get it. We'll be back in a moment.
Hit up
the WMMR.com contest page for your chance to win the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Homegate Kickoff Prize Pack, including a $100 Primo Hoagies gift card, a four-pack of custom pint glasses, a case of Bud Light Platinum, and more. All delivered personally by members of the Preston and Steve Show. WMMR.com. Everything that rocks.
I still got some more weird stories. I want to share them with you. Let's do the fire.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by HERS. And HERS hasn't missed a good time in Philly since 1946, when it's time to celebrate the good times with nothing but the best company. You got to break out the HERS. All right. This guy was okay. That's why this is funny.
Okay.
I have to preface that.
A Staten Island man fell headfirst into his koi pond and got stuck there for a half hour.
Oh, my God.
Tuesday afternoon, while trying to clean out the front yard fish habitat, Natal Pizzolo, who is 85, and his wife, Joan, said that he floundered and fell into a drainage ditch at the bottom of the pond.
The fish were biting my nose.
He said, I was just doing some maintenance to the koi pond when I fell inside the hole. He had drained it. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
When first responders arrived at the house, they could see his feet sticking straight up in the air.
Aww.
According to an FDNY spokesperson. And he said, this isn't something that you see every day. The proverbial fish out of water said that he was stuck for nearly 30 minutes inside a small rock pond before he managed to call out and get the attention of Joan, who was inside the house at the time. She said, I heard a faint scream from outside.
Leave me alone.
She said she realized she hadn't seen her husband in a while.
I don't love you.
She rushed out to find Natalie trapped shoulder deep in the drain and dialed 911.
Are koi ponds routinely deep?
It depends. Like, I had a pond that could have housed koi at our old house, and it was only 2.5 feet deep,
right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Firefighters were apparently very concerned about the possibility of him being partially submerged in water. He managed to drain the pond before falling in, and firefighters were able to pull him to safety. Members of Engine 160 arrived on the rescue real quick, Jones said. The pond itself is shallow and lined with rocks and decorative frog and turtle statues. Though the drainage ditch at its bottom is about 8 feet deep.
Oh, wow.
An 8-foot deep koi pond?
That's as deep as my swimming pool.
Yes.
That's pretty wild. So the drainage ditch is 8 feet deep. I don't know if it means the pond is as well.
He also keeps sharks in there.
He declined a trip to the hospital and said he suffered some bruises on his arms, which were bandaged up. An Idaho college student may have set a Guinness World Record when he traversed 100 meters of slip and slide in 10.4 seconds.
Wow.
Jeff Roper, a mechanical engineer from mechanical engineering major. Brigham University.
You said 100 meters?
Yeah. Used dirt trenches, painter's tarps, and a garden hose.
Man.
To create the long slip and slide course near his grandparents' home. Now, it was headed down an incline.
Casey's brow is furrowed. Are you thinking this is something you want to take on?
Well, this is something I wanted to do like a couple of years
ago. We were
ago,
talking
man.
About trying our own thing.
Yeah, because they were supposed to have the largest slip and slide in the city.
Yeah,
and
that,
then
fell,
that
through
fell through.
Because
I'm like,
insurance.
Okay. Yeah.
I love slip and slides.
Witnesses, including the sheriff's office deputies, were on hand to watch as Roper reached a top speed of 32 miles an hour.
Whoa.
While sliding across the tarps.
Imagine sliding across the surface of something at 30 miles an hour.
You should see him at the end when he hits.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. It's, dude, yeah, he hits pretty hard.
That's like Action Park stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Roper traversed 100 meters or 328 feet in 10.4 seconds. The student said he submitted evidence from the attempt to Guinness World Records and expects to hear by late January whether his feat was accepted or not.
It should be.
Do you think they soaped it down or was it just water?
Soap would probably be a main element,
that's
right?
A good question.
Because a lot of times soap is a key element when you just have a regular backyard slip and slide.
Yep.
They suggest you put some dish soap on it.
Yep, you are correct. I think we could get Casey to break some kind of world record.
Yeah.
We need to
absolutely.
Do that at some point.
But about longest free fall without a cushion?
I like that. Yeah.
You can do it. As two deputies responding to a pedestrian versus vehicle crash,
The sheriff's office said that they ran over the same pedestrian who was already dead.
Oh, my God.
The incident happened around 4 a.m. on Sunday. Officials said a 27-year-old Orlando man walked into Hillsborough Avenue or onto it and was struck by a 41-year-old woman driving east. The woman reported the crash and is cooperating with authorities. As two deputies responded to the crash, both of them hit the same pedestrian still lying in the middle of the road.
At this point, the pedestrian was dead?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Florida Highway Patrol said the pedestrian had already been killed in the first collision.
Come on, man.
Yeah, he was already dead.
Yeah, yeah.
the two deputies...
You can just tell.
The two deputies, 24 and 25 years old, have been with the department since January and May of 2019, and they will conduct the crash investigation. The department will on this. The Danish government has ordered mink farms to cull over 1 million animals.
Oh, my God.
Due to reported outbreaks of coronavirus among the species prized for its fur.
A mink can carry coronavirus?
I guess that's the case. The outbreak among the mink population was detected in late June after a COVID-19 patient was linked to a mink farm in North Jutland.
North Jutland.
As of this month, mink on around 60 farms in North Jutland have tested positive for coronavirus. And in addition, 46 farms are under suspicion.
Can't they give them masks?
The Danish Minister of Food, Mogens Jensen, had said... he said, we have continuously launched initiatives to manage and contain the spread of infection. In view of the recent large increase, we must unfortunately state that it has not been sufficient to prevent continued spread of infection among the North Jutland mink herd.
So how big is the herd? Do they give any indication?
There's over 1 million.
Okay, so I wonder what the full size of the herd is.
I don't know.
If the order 50 million.
The order mandates that mink farms within 5 miles of the farm or herd that is confirmed or suspected to be infected with the coronavirus must be culled.
Jesus.
That's
If I were the chinchillas, I'd be nervous.
Yeah. All right, and then one last story. Police say they summoned 45-year-old James Kempf for assault after he allegedly struck another man on Monday afternoon. Now, Kempf was walking by the alleged victim, a 52-year-old man, who Kempf told police barked at him. Exactly. Kempf allegedly walked up to the man and slapped him in the face. Kempf was issued a summons.
Down, boy! Down!
That's an old man.
It's an old man. Is. An old Australian man.
Yep. He's described. He's...
Stop it!
That's an old Australian man in an interview.
Describing a dog.
Dog attack.
Attack. It was, we should see if you have that full audio so we can refresh the audience. Kempf was issued a summons charging him with assault and a $2,000 fine. Misdemeanor is punishable by up to 6 months incarceration and a $1,000 fine. Police did not divulge why the man was barking or why...
I can't believe I actually found it because it's labeled Hansen, crazy dog.
Hansen allegedly responded in the way he did. All right, we have it?
Yeah.
All right, this was it.
Now, yesterday morning, I came out into the front yard and the dogs were across the road. And as soon as they saw me, they came bounding over. And I just made it into the front door.
Oh, my God.
But the funny part is his wife is standing next to him. And when he goes into that, he starts spasming wildly.
And leaning in, and she's looking at him like, you're an idiot.
Now, yesterday morning, I came out into the front yard, and the dogs were across the road. And as soon as they saw me, they came bounding over. And I just made it into the front door.
That's what that's from.
He could have just said they came at me barking furiously.
No, yeah,
he had to recreate it.
He owned it.
Yeah, might be time to consider a divorce.
Yeah. All right. And there you go. That's your bizarre file. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's lesson question time and trash and music news. We'll see how you do. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
76 and sunshine. Soak it in, because we got some rain coming tomorrow, and we have 61 as our high next couple of days.
And tomorrow isn't all rain, right?
I don't know. I have not seen the breakdown of the rain forecasted for tomorrow. Nick will pull that up for me now, and we'll see if we get like an hourly breakdown, but...
All right.
Sometimes I don't follow through. I just see the little rain icon and
that's enough.
And don't go with the hourly breakdown for tomorrow. Nick is looking into it. Looks like showers morning,
most of the day,
afternoon, wrapping up after lunch.
So like they that. Got we have showers, we have rain, we have light rain, and then we have showers again.
What's the difference between showers and rain? Showers are heavier than rain, right?
Are they?
I think showers.
I don't know.
Showers are consistent rain, whereas rain is intermittent showers.
You know why Snoop Dogg carries an umbrella, right? For drizzle.
For drizzle? For drizzle. That's a good question. And you know what?
Thank you.
And partly cloudy and mostly sunny can be interchanged, too.
Yeah, I think mostly sunny is...
A little more sunny than cloudy?
Yes.
And partly cloudy is a little bit more cloudy than mostly sunny?
Correct.
Okay.
I'm on the same page.
That makes sense. Insufficient clouds.
Showers, also known as rain showers, have a shorter duration than rain. They tend to be quick and come in bursts. Showers come from puffy clouds or cumuliform clouds like cumulus or cumulonimbus compared to rain. Showers cover a smaller area but can be more intense. So rain is more of an overall blanket.
Right.
Showers are
heavier,
more concentrated.
Right.
And not as
doily.
Not as long. Not as doily.
I use the Dark Skies app on my phone for weather, and it's great. You can break it down to precipitation, you know, hour by hour. Yeah. And then also, because I like to ride my bike, I also, it gives you the wind direction for, like, the next day and a half.
So there's an app that I use, Casey. So the main app that I use is the AccuWeather app. I find it to be the most consistently accurate. But there's one called Windy, which is, and it is tailor-made for hikers, cyclists. It's meant for that specificity. Yes.
Okay. Because that's obviously important to you riding your bike, especially down the shore, because it can get. Is it breezy most of the time down the shore?
Yeah.
All of the time. Breezy?
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 He said most of the time. Yeah.
Most of the time?
Yeah.
Well, because most of the time I hear it when he's talking about taking a long bike ride. Wind is part of the discussion, so that's why I assume
the shore is definitely windier usually, right?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of like the swelteringly hot days on the beach where there's like
the stagnant ones.
Yeah, like there's just not one bit of wind.
Oh my god, this is so hot! I can't take it. I can't even.
You probably don't feel the wind. You feel the wind more like
my fudgy fudgy bar is melting.
When you're riding into it.
What is the direction most common, when you're... It comes off the shore,
right?
Well,
okay, so most common, the wind is coming off the shore. Very rarely do you get a land breeze.
Right.
When you do have that land breeze, I don't go to the beach because of the flies.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
That's when it brings them in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it brings them from the bay onto the beach.
Yeah. That's normally a warmer breeze coming from the land, whereas a sea breeze is a cooler breeze because it's coming from the ocean, right?
Right.
Okay.
But it's all a summer breeze.
Right. Right?
Yeah. It makes you feel fine.
Yeah, that's right.
And then sometimes you get a little hint of jasmine.
In your mind. I mean, it's not really, but so, yeah.
And the wind is harsher than a breeze, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Summer breeze makes me feel fine. Rolling here with jasmine in my mind.
That's my dog.
Well, they're an American group.
That's my dog.
All right, so let's do the lesson question for today, and we will give away as a prize pair of tickets to the Bates Motel and Haunted Attractions. I got to go with this. What was Top Ramen's ad campaign that rivaled Kraft Mac and Cheese's Send Us Your Nudes?
I knew it.
215-263-WMMR. What was Top Ramen's ad campaign that rivaled Kraft Mac and Cheese's Send Us Your Nudes? 215-263-WMMR. If you know the answer and you get through, you just might win. We're going to do the trash. I hit the wrong button.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, please regale us.
Yes, absolutely. A smoothie-sipping Kourtney Kardashian made quite a scene as an umbrella holder walked alongside her on a rainy New York City street. During a brief misstep, the umbrella holder allowed some rain to get on Kourtney, prompting her to call her umbrella holder smacker. So,
hey!
It's its second job. Orange is the new black actress Taryn Manning, saying she'd never want to compete on Dancing with the Stars because it would make her seem like a has-been. Manning says she wouldn't want to risk losing substantive roles, like her latest role as a blind possum in Gnomeo and Juliet 5.
Oh, so, my God.
And finally, rapper Offset. This is unbelievable. Taking to Instagram to post a picture of his 2-year-old daughter Culture's brand-new, custom-made, $8,000 Rolls-Royce car seat. Offset says that the money is no object when you want to feel safe drinking and driving.
Wow. $8,000 car seat.
$8,000 kids car seat.
That's insane.
That they'll grow out of in
a flash.
Less than a year.
All right. Well, let's even get an answer to this stupid question. What was Top Ramen's ad campaign that rivaled Kraft Mac and Cheese's Send Us Your Nudes? 215-263-WMMR, and I will go to Will and see if he knows the answer. Hey, Will, good morning.
Hey, good morning, it.
All right, good morning, sir. All right, what was the Top Ramen ad campaign that rivaled Kraft Mac and Cheese's Send Us Your Nudes?
Send us pics of your gaping butthole.
Anus, butthole, same thing. They're interchangeable. Yep. He got the gaping part right, so. Hang on a second, Will. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to Bates Motel and Haunted Attractions. Voted the number one haunt in the country. Your last chance to get half-price tickets is on the deals page at WMMR.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, brought to you today by Salus University. Salus University offers some of the fastest growing and highest paid health professions in the country, including optometry and audiology. Salus University, the future of health science since 1919. To apply, visit salus.edu. Black Sabbath guitarist Tony Iommi recently collaborated with Pink Floyd co-founder and drummer Nick Mason.
Huh.
In an interview posted on Blabbermouth, Iommi said, "A few weeks ago, Nick and I recorded a song for a charity album that will raise funds to fight cancer. They asked me to go and provide some riffs for it, and of course, I gladly agreed." Iommi was diagnosed with lymphoma in 2012, shortly after Sabbath announced a reunion tour and album, underwent treatment throughout the recording of the album, and also during the tour, and successfully underwent an operation in 2017 to remove a non-cancerous lump from his throat. He has said that there's a possibility that Ronnie Wood would be involved in the project, too. So we'll see if that ends up happening. Deftones frontman Chyna Moreno has started working on new material for his other project called Crosses. The singer said, that guy's excited. The singer said that he recently unearthed some old ideas when he set up a home studio. He said, "Now that the Deftones record Ohms is done and there's no touring really in the near future, I kind of have time to work on stuff, so I am definitely going to dig in and see where I can go with that." Crosses, which features Moreno as well as far guitarist Shaw Lopez and bassist Chuck Du, released their debut album in 2014. Oasis and their single Wonderwall, which was originally released in October of 1995, has reached a huge milestone. According to a press release, the song has now reached 1 billion streams on Spotify. Wow. Right before its 25th anniversary.
1 billion streams.
So Wonderwall is the first 90s song to achieve that feat.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty big achievement for them. Shinedown is currently working on their 7th studio album. Frontman Brent Smith says that the band is 9 songs into the writing process. However, it may be a while before we hear any new music. Smith makes it clear that they are only in the demo process at the moment. In the meantime, you can cheer them on in MMR's Rocktober Madness as they beat out Rush yesterday.
They're doing well, yeah.
Celebrate the album's 50th anniversary. The Kinks are releasing a special multi-format version of Lola versus Power Man and the Money Ground, Part 1, or as most call it, the Lola album. Ray Davies of the Kinks said the album is a celebration of artistic freedom, including my own, and the right for anyone to be gender-free if one wishes. The secret is to be a good and trusting person and friend. Although it appeared during a transitional period for the Kinks, it contained 2 hit singles. It got Lola, which reached number 9 in the U.S., number 2 in the U.K. and Germany, becoming the Kinks' biggest success since Sunny Afternoon in 1966. That's a great song,
too. It is a great song.
And 8 Man, which peaked at number 5 in the U.K. and Germany. The box set campaign also launches with a brand new Ray Davies remix and medley of the Kinks track Anytime, available December 18th. And the Kinks got knocked out, or did they?
No, they're still going. They beat the Ramones, so they're going up against Bruce.
I thought they might.
Taking on Bruce. We'll see how that goes. And one last thing, I mentioned this earlier this morning. Fleetwood Mac's 1977 classic Dreams has been heard more than 230 million times in the last 2 weeks across streaming services, social media, and radio. The classic track exploded when a feel-good video of Idaho resident Nathan Apodaca lip-syncing Stevie Nicks' vocals took over social media. The TikTok video ignited a Dreams challenge, with people all over the world making their own version of the video across social platforms. Even band members Mick Fleetwood and Stevie Nicks got into the in on the global event by marking their own versions of his video.
Did you see Stevie Nicks doing those tricks on the vert ramp?
No, I did not. I did see her in a pair of roller skates, but I don't know what she does on them. I haven't actually watched the video yet.
She just sings a little bit of Dreams and has the Ocean Spray bottle in the background, so it's her little nod.
But she doesn't actually skate?
Nope.
She's putting them on?
She stays seated the whole time.
Okay. So the viral phenomenon also has positive people positively or discovering. I'm going to start over again. Okay. The viral phenomenon. I quit.
The viral phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Got it.
That thing has people revisiting or discovering Fleetwood Mac's back catalog, with The Chain and Landslide both now on the Spotify U.S. chart and across all streaming services. Fleetwood Mac songs are up 68%.
So God, they have such sensational songs.
That is a good thing. Yeah, The Chain is a masterpiece.
That's a big bump from Guardians 2, right?
It did,
All right, there you go. That's your music news. Let's take a break, come back in a second, get the letter of the day, and wrap this thing up. We'll be back in just a moment.
Acme Markets proudly supports Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, beginning Monday, November 16th at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. More this year than most, we really need your help to make Camp Out a success. You can make a difference right now. Visit your local Acme during October and November and make a donation at the register when you check out. Acme will ensure your generous gift goes right to Phil Abundance to purchase food that's a lifeline for area families in need. Go to WMMR.com for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Camp Out for Hunger from Acme Markets and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
AC/DC on MMR. I'm calling it. I think they win Rocktober Madness.
You thinking so?
I'm feeling that vibe.
They have new music out. We didn't bet with our, you know, our likes and dislikes as much as we bet competitively, or at least picked competitively with the hopes of winning this thing. Not that it's a competition, but yeah, it sort of is.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, we have the audience in mind.
Right.
What we thought people might
would
choose.
Be doing. So,
I think it's going to come down to AC/DC and Tom Petty.
Yeah, it very well could be, though. Shinedown, rabid fan base, and a proactive fan base. We'll see.
And the reason I think that Tom Petty might not win against AC/DC, even though they're both formidable song-wise, because I don't think we'll see any sympathy, because they gave Eddie Van Halen no sympathy.
You know what happens also, though? It's the songs that are played. Again, I think that last push that are played at that last moment, say it's a sunny day or you look out the window and it's, you're feeling a special mood and you're hearing the songs back to back and you have that last minute reflection and you say, you know what? Okay, I'm going with this artist. And it could happen. It can turn on a dime like that.
I'd say if I were, the last song I would play from AC/DC would probably be For Those About to Rock.
Yeah. You know, I did
It's hard to beat that one.
The song we just played, you remember the video for it. The, you know, there's the girl in the video. I checked up, you know, because everyone's, oh, yeah, who was that girl?
Sure.
At that time in London, she was a famous Page Three girl.
Okay.
You know, like Samantha Fox was.
Yes.
Yeah. They were all, there was a thing, I guess, I don't know if the paper still does it, but they would actually have occasionally a nude woman on the third
topless.
Page.
Yeah, topless. Yeah. I think didn't she end up on like a mechanical bull in that video?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I remember
which,
that.
Everyone, of course, has in their apartment.
I remember that video well. All right, I want to thank Carrie Filer-Bender and Rob Reichard from the Philadelphia AIDS Walk for coming on this morning. It is happening on Sunday. It will be a virtual walk, meaning it starts at 8 a.m. And, of course, you can sign up online via AIDSWalkPhilly.org, but they would like for you to participate at home and just go out and walk on your own. So it's going to be easy to do. You can make the donation, register, and the whole thing. Pierre Robert, who just made it in here, will be there for the 34th year in a row as part of this whole thing, if you can get your computer to work.
Where will I be, though?
You'll be at home.
Oh.
You'll be on the holodeck.
I'll be on the holodeck.
Yeah.
Marvelous.
Mm. So thank you to those guys. And thank you to Steve Byrne.
Yeah.
Love him. He's got a movie out. It's essentially about his life in stand-up or his getting started in stand-up. And it's called Opening Act. And it is available on demand, Apple, iTunes, Amazon, etc. Starting tomorrow. Watch it. He's a great guy. And it's got a great score so far.
Yeah, absolutely. 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, produced by Vince Vaughn and Peter Billingsley. So it's got some good stuff behind it.
Most definitely. How you doing, man?
Fine, thank you.
Excellent. Why don't we get the letter from you?
Yes.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
O as in October.
All right. And we are going to give away tomorrow a $400 Resorts Casino Hotel gift card. Resorts Casino Hotel is using the most advanced air purifying technology to ensure that your gaming experience is fun and exciting and worry-free. Room rates starting at $69. You can book your stay by visiting resortsac.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. What's shaking today, man?
Well, we've got some fine competitions. We will have The Offspring against Sublime at 11:30. And I'm still reminded of Sublime versus Bon Jovi. As I mentioned yesterday, the guy called up from Stony Brook Lane offering a free pot to people who voted for Sublime. Now, it was not true then, and it won't be true today, even if that guy calls back. However, we'll see what happens with The Offspring versus Sublime. That's at 11:30. 1:30 is your Ozzy against Queen. Jackson at 3:30 with Green Day against Pink Floyd. And at 5:30 with The Doors versus Iron Maiden. And so that's what's happening with that. I'll have workforce blocks of Rancid and David Bowie and 6 a.m. Motley Crue. So it'll be fun.
Excellent. Thank you, Pierre. And I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show's brought to you today by Acme Markets. Fresh foods, local flavors, also by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow on the program, Bert Kreischer checking in about his new show, The Cabin, right?
People are loving this show. A lot of people on social media have gotten in touch with me to say it's just great. I'm going to check it out.
Nice. So we'll spend time with Bert and whatever else we want to do. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we shall see you tomorrow, friend.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
I just want to bitch about something. It's absolutely gorgeous outside. Picture perfect day. And there's not a swinging doing anything. Come on, people. Can you get off of your phones and go outside and do something?
Next message.
Hey, Philadelphia, listen to the Preston and Steve show. And you, too, can get this free gift of Mickey Rourke's thing. Hear Mickey croak out songs. Great hits like, well, we have no idea because we can't understand a goddamn word he's saying.
Next message.
Here's an idea. Instead of complaining about how slow people drive, why don't you adjust your schedule? Maybe leave a little bit earlier so you don't have to
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.